KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so we are living through an extremely tenuous time. It is very obvious that the country is coming apart at the seams. It was happening before Trump. It did not decelerate during Trump. And despite the best attempts of the media to claim that Joe Biden is a unifying figure and that the country was going to come back together, in fact, the administration has not been a unifying force. There are centrifugal forces right now that are tearing apart the country in very serious ways. And it seems like that is not going to decelerate anytime soon. And it's weird, because when you look at Joe Biden, sometimes he says the right things, frankly. Like yesterday, for example, he came out and he said, communism is a terrible system, it's failed everywhere it's tried. I don't think there's much of a difference from socialism. And you said to yourself, okay, well, this is the kind of reasonable Joe Biden that we were led to believe was going to be president of the United States in 2020. And then, within 24 hours, Joe Biden will also be saying that if you are in favor of voter ID, it's because you're a Jim Crow-style racist. Well, that sort of rhetoric is, in fact, what is going to tear the country apart, because there has been a movement brewing in America for a decade, at the very least, in which people, particularly the left, declare people of the right to be Nazis, and then they suggest it's okay to punch a Nazi. And on a broad institutional and governmental level, this has been the argument. People I don't like are white supremacists. People I don't like are Nazis. People I don't like are the worst of the worst of the worst. And therefore, we are absolutely justified in using every means at our disposal to shut this thing down, to prevent people from disseminating information, to stop people from using individual rights. Because individual rights, of course, can be a danger. In Germany, post-World War II, there was a particular tactic used by the government in order to quash the rise of Nazism in the post-World War II era. It was called Streitbare Demokratie. And the basic idea was that you could not provide freedom of speech to, say, Hitlerian groups, because if you did, then they would then use that freedom of speech against the very freedoms of Germans, and they would take over the state again and pose a threat to the world. And so you had to quash them. You had to strangle it in the crib, so to speak. Now, never mind that really had not worked very well during the Weimar Republic. Right? Hitler was jailed after the Bierhoff Putsch, and then Hitler emerged from jail, and he was more popular than he'd been before he was put in jail. And it turns out that very often, when you try to prevent bad rhetoric from gaining adherence, banning the rhetoric is a good way to make the rhetoric more appealing to more people, because then they feel that they are victims of some sort of transnational conspiracy. But beyond that, even if you believed that Streitbare Demokratie has been a success, that banning, for example, the sale of Mein Kampf in Germany has been a net positive for Germany, you have to be very careful how you use those principles, because, of course, the question is really not whether Mein Kampf ought to be banned in Germany. It's who decides whether Mein Kampf ought to be banned in Germany. And when you take that to an American context, the question is who decides what ought to be banned. Now, the founders took a pretty robust view of political freedom in the United States. It wasn't unending. There were certain things that you could do, like try to overthrow the government of the United States, or you could speak in ways that were considered treasonous. And these things would not necessarily be covered by the First Amendment. And there's a lot of case law on this. There's a lot of writing by the founders on this sort of stuff. But the freedom of speech and the ability to dissent has historically been extremely broad in the United States, and for good reason. Because the truth is that if you're a progressive leftist, if you're somebody who's a progressive leftist, your best protection as a progressive leftist, historically speaking, has been the First Amendment. If the conservative powers that be had actually been able to prevent you from speaking freely over the course of the 20th century, then many of the left's champion causes never would have come to fruition. ranging from same-sex marriage to radical centralization of governmental power. So stripper democracy is a power that has to be used sparingly, if at all. And in the United States, there really is very little precedent for stripper democracy. When it has been used in the past, it's been used to pretty nefarious effects, ranging from the Alien Sedition Act of the John Adams administration to Woodrow Wilson using the Sedition Act in order to crack down on people who dissented from World War I. What we are seeing right now is a sort of institutional stripebearer democracy, where the government knows its own limits in the sense that the Supreme Court is not going to allow overt prevention by the government of speech. Instead, the government has realized that it can utilize the tools of institutional power that exist outside of the government in order to cram down its own agenda. It's essentially state-sponsored, state-initiated, and state-advocated stripebearer democracy, right? Crackdown on particular points of view. But the problem is that the people who are making these decisions have a very broad view of what it is that ought to be suppressed. And so it becomes extremely dangerous when you see people who are in very high positions of power talking about their fellow Americans as though they are full-scale Nazis, talking about their fellow Americans as though they are on the verge of a beer hall putsch, as though they are Hitler. And this struck me forcibly yesterday when I was reading this story from the Washington Post about General Mark Milley. So I'll be honest with you, I really didn't know much about Mark Milley until the past couple of months, and it seems to me that Mark Milley is a fool. I don't know what else to take away from his comments in front of Congress that he's assigning how to be an anti-racist by Ibram X. Kendi to American troops, because American troops need to know why the systems of the United States are inherently and unfixably racist, and discrimination today is a remedy for discrimination yesterday. His statements about that were full-on asinine. And now there's an article that has come out based on the Carol Lennick and Philip Rucker book, I Alone Can Fix It, Donald J. Trump's Catastrophic Final Year, talking about Mark Milley's view of January 6th and everything that led up to January 6th and post-January 6th. And Mark Milley's perspective on this is so unbelievably historically ignorant and, yes, dangerous, because when you characterize your political opposition in the worst possible way without any true historical reference point, you are paving the way for exactly the sort of measures that normally have to be used for the world's worst people. Right? If the logic is the Nazis had to be fought on the beaches, and then you say, oh, yes, and my next-door neighbor is also a Nazi, the implication is that your next-door neighbor needs to be treated like a Nazi should be treated. So here's what Mark Milley had to say, and this is so historically ignorant. I mean, it honestly looks as though he once read a Doonesbury cartoon about World War II, and this is his only historical reference for what happened during World War II and in the lead-up to the Hitlerian takeover of Germany and the Enabling Act of 1933. According to the Washington Post, Milley described a stomach-churning feeling as he listened to President Trump's untrue complaints of election fraud, drawing a comparison to the 1933 attack on Germany's parliament building that Hitler used as a pretext to establish a Nazi dictatorship. This is a Reichstag moment, Milley told aides, according to the book, the gospel of the Führer. Okay, now, the United States is not the Weimar Republic circa 1932-1933. It is not. Okay, there are a wide variety of dissimilarities, ranging from the fact that Germany had suffered a catastrophic loss in World War I, and then suffered an even more catastrophic peace under the Versailles Treaty, to the economic failures of the 1920s, to the failures of parliamentary government that ended essentially with the establishment of a proto-dictatorship under figures other than Hitler in the early 1930s. Like, there are a wide variety of factors that distinguish Weimar Republic Germany from America circa 2021, like many, many, many factors. Okay, and the comparison of Donald Trump to Hitler is, of course, particularly ridiculous. And it's also particularly ridiculous that Milley was suggesting that the January 6th attack on the Capitol was, in some sense, a Reichstag moment. Okay, because if you know anything about the Reichstag fire, what you know about the Reichstag fire is that a deranged communist set fire to the Reichstag building, and then Hitler used that as a pretext to round up communists and to have the German parliament push through an enabling act that essentially put all power of the state in his hands. Right? So the idea was that there was a fire that was blown out of proportion by the ruling powers that be. Hitler was already chancellor at the time. And then that was used as the pretext to centralize even more power and basically get rid of the Reichstag entirely, like get rid of the entire German legislative body as an effectual part of government. Okay, well, what would the logic of that be with regard to January 6th? That a bunch of Trump supporters, morons and droogs, stormed the Capitol building so that Donald Trump could, according to General Milley, invoke the Insurrection Act against the people who were on his side, purportedly? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Internally, there's no logic to it. There's no consistency to it at all. Okay, so none of this makes any sense. But the Washington Post piece is basically all about how Milley thinks that not only was Trump Hitlerian, but that a huge number of his supporters were basically brown shirts. And he used this kind of language on a regular basis, apparently, which is scary considering that he is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Right. So if you look further on in the article, he said that Milley said he was determined to avoid a repeat of the siege on the Capitol a week after January 6th. He said, everyone in this room, whether you're a cop, whether you're a soldier, we're going to stop these guys to make sure we have a peaceful transfer of power. We're going to put a ring of steel around the city, and the Nazis aren't getting in. The Nazis aren't getting in? Really? The Nazis? Like, I'm just wondering, like, does he... It was like a couple of hundred idiots. Congress went about its business within 2 hours of the halls of Congress being cleared. He suggested that he feared an American equivalent of brown shirts in the streets after Trump was speaking about the election between November 4th and January 6th. Brown shirts in the streets. Now, the brown shirts were a paramilitary force approved of by the ruling administration and encouraged to go perform acts like Kristallnacht in 1938. Right? So, like there's no historical precedent for what he's talking about. But, again, it is the language that is being used about an entire side of the political aisle, because it's not even restricted to Trump's language is wrong. He is not telling the truth about the election. That is terrible for our democracy. It's not restricted to that. It's not restricted to the people who invaded the Capitol building on January 6th are not only idiots and droogs, but perform criminal acts and should go to jail. It's not that. It's anybody who went to a Trump rally, anybody who voted for Trump, right? The extension outward toward, because here's the thing. If Trump is Hitler and a Hitlerian figure, anyone who voted for Trump by extension voted for Hitler. And those people are then complicit in Hitlerian crimes. And you can see this taken to its sort of full fruition when it comes to the comments that a guy named Miles Taylor made yesterday. Now, you never heard of Miles Taylor until the last 5 seconds. Miles Taylor was the guy who wrote this anonymous column in the New York Times talking about how there were people inside the administration resisting Trump. And there's a lot of who could Anonymous be? Was Anonymous actually Mike Pence? Was Anonymous actually maybe Melania? Was Anonymous Barron? Right, there's all this idiot talk about who was Anonymous? Who could Anonymous be a high rank? It turns out that Anonymous was basically Anonymous. He was this low-level official in the Trump administration who then came out, and first he lied on CNN about it. Right? He said, I'm not Anonymous. And then it turns out he was Anonymous, and he wrote this column about how Trump was terrible and he needed to be stopped from within. Okay, well, yesterday, Miles Taylor appeared on MSNBC's Jason Johnson, where he proceeded to explain that the biggest threat to the Republic is not ISIS, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's not Chinese authoritarianism and communism, it's not Russian aggression, it's conservatives and Republicans. Those are the greatest threat to the Republic. And you can see the move here. The move here is going to be your next-door neighbor is the problem. And as we'll see, this is going to justify the kind of crackdowns that Democrats have planned. If that happens, you can see why the country is on the verge of a split. Once your next-door neighbor is no longer just a person who disagrees with you politically, but your actual enemy, like a Hitlerian enemy, what exactly are you supposed to do other than taking the measures that would have been necessary to stop Hitler in his tracks? Here was Miles Taylor saying one of the more despicable things I've heard in modern American politics.
I'm a national security guy. I've worked in national security against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Russia. And the number one national security threat I've ever seen in my life to this country's democracy is the party that I'm in, the Republican Party. It is the number one national security threat to the United States of America. And I'll tell you this, if my party retakes the U.S. House of Representatives in the next cycle, it's going to become a haunted house. And the ghoul and the specter haunting that house is going to be Donald Trump.
They're the biggest national security threat to the United States he's ever seen in his life. Now, Miles Taylor seems like a fairly young guy, but I'm 37, and the Soviet Union was still around for the first few years of my life. China, right now, is making aggressive moves, not only with regard to Hong Kong, but with regard to Taiwan. On the tech front, they're making aggressive moves. But according to Miles Taylor, Republicans, your next-door neighbors, or maybe you are the true threats of the country. Writ large, you are the true threat. Now, what does this justify? If you say that everyone around you is a Nazi, this means it's time for some stripe-bear democracy applied to you. And that's precisely what the Biden administration apparently is now going to push forward. They're not going to do it formally through the actual auspices of government. Instead, they're going to hijack, encourage, work hand in glove with private institutions in order to make sure that those private institutions do their dirty work. It makes it very difficult for those institutions to claim they are not state actors when, as we will see, the White House is openly acknowledging that it is directing non-state actors to do things the state actor itself could not do. Already coming up, if the left decides that you are the bad guy, they can do whatever they need to do to stop you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T-cell therapy. Ways that I advocate for cancer is probably mostly through my podcast and my Instagram or TikTok. It's so vitally important that we have Leukemia Lymphoma Society on our side.
To give or get help, visit LLS.org.
Furnished by LLS.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we have seen that there are members of the establishment, mainstream left, and some members of the government, actually, who have decided that you might be a Nazi. Well, if you're a Nazi, they can do whatever they need to do to stop you. And you can see how major institutions in Western society are being weaponized toward this. So, let's take a quick and kind of amazing example. So, yesterday, the ABA, which is an organization that is dedicated to selling books, the American Booksellers Association, right, which is an association of bookstores across the country, they put out a statement. The statement they put out was about Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage. Now, we've talked with Abigail Schreier on the show. I recommended her book. It is an excellent book. It is all about the damage done to young people by giving them hormone therapy and genital surgeries on the basis of supposed gender dysphoria without proper diagnosis and without any sort of longitudinal data, right? The book is really well thought out. It is a very sensitive book. It is not a sort of hard-charging, wreck-everything book at all. Okay, Abigail's a very considered person. Okay, so the ABA put out this statement. Quote, an anti-trans book was included in our July mailing to members. It is not an anti-trans book. It is a book considering whether rapid onset gender dysphoria is a problem. By data, it very clearly is. Quote, this is a serious violent incident, violent, that goes against ABA's ends, policies, values, and everything we believe and support. It is inexcusable. We apologize to our trans members and to the trans community for this terrible incident and the pain we caused them. We also apologize to the LGBTQIA plus community at large and to our bookselling community. Apologies are not enough. We've begun addressing this today and are committed to engaging in the critical dialogue needed to inform concrete steps to address the harm we caused. Those steps will be shared in the next 3 weeks. Okay, so you have an actual booksellers association apologizing for the violent act of distributing a book. And this is the mentality that has taken over with regard to major institutions throughout American society. You must apologize if you cross the left. You've committed an act of violence by simply allowing for the distribution of a book. They weren't pushing the book. They weren't saying that the book is the only book on trans issues. There are many books pushed by the American Booksellers Association that are fully in tune with the far-left cultural zeitgeist that suggests that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and that you should propagandize that to kids, right? I Am Jazz is the kind of stuff that the ABA also sells and promotes and loves. Okay, but if there is one book they don't like, it can be banned. Same thing with Ryan Anderson's book, When Harry Became Sally, which was banned from Amazon. You literally cannot buy it on Amazon because it is, quote-unquote, anti-trans. Okay, this sort of institutional takeover is extremely dangerous. And when it becomes clear that it is not just coming from wokes inside particular corporations, encouraged by the media. I've talked a lot on this program about how corporations have basically been hijacked by their woke staffers. The bosses are too chicken bleep to actually stand up to their staffers and say, no, we're not going to do any of that. So the media have militarized this. The far-left media have decided what they will do is they will find a couple of employees, disgruntled employees inside a company, and they will get those employees to talk about how offended they are by something that the company is doing, and then the company responds by doing what the disgruntled employees want. So you have a couple of Amazon employees who will complain about Abigail Schreier. NBC News will do a story, like a full story about two Amazon employees quitting. We talked about this yesterday. Two Amazon employees out of 800,000 American Amazon employees quitting. And then they will put pressure on Amazon to get rid of Abigail Schreier's book. So that is one problem. A far larger problem in terms of formal problems and problems that should scare the living hell out of you are governments actively attempting to use the chief means of distribution of information in our society, the social media companies, in order to set boundaries on what information you can consume. Now remember, the original good of social media companies was that it was a marketplace of ideas. It was a town square of ideas. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act was explicitly directed at providing a greater forum for these sorts of, for us to actually grow. You wanted Facebook to exist so that people could exchange ideas. In the early days of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg talked very clearly about this. By the way, so did Jack Dorsey, right? The idea over at Twitter, the idea was that these were going to be places for exchange of ideas, where there would be discussions, where you could access all sorts of information you never would have gotten if you just subscribed to the New York Times, for example. And people took that seriously, and they started consuming their news via social media. So instead of just going directly to the New York Times or to the Daily Wire, they started going to their news feed on Facebook. And then media members started attempting to push and ram Facebook in order to circumscribe what kind of material you could access through your newsfeed. And so you get Kevin Roos from the New York Times saying, too many people are visiting Ben Shapiro's Facebook page. You need to curtail that. You need to make sure that the traffic to Daily Wire goes down, for example. The only sources that should be trusted are the New York Times. And now you have the federal government of the United States that is pushing this as well. And again, the ideology here is that there are people who know better than you. And those people not only have better moral standards than you, they know what constitutes, on a quote-unquote objective level, disinformation. So this mentality was pushed forward yesterday by the former Prime Minister of Denmark and a member of Facebook's oversight board. She kind of expressed the general overlying theory here. She said, here's the thing. All these platforms, yes, they're for freedom of speech, but this must be balanced with other concerns. Here's what she had to say.
What we're trying to find, of course, I think many of us who are engaging in this conversation, is that middle road. How do you moderate content? And how do you find that balance between human rights and free speech, this is a human right, but also other human rights, because obviously free speech is not an absolute human right. It has to be balanced with other human rights. And that is what the oversight is there to do.
Okay, so again, Facebook has now integrated itself with this idea. That's Helle Thorning-Schmidt, who is, again, a former prime minister of Denmark, and is promoting the idea that Facebook needs to balance freedom of speech with other concerns. Well, really, they shouldn't. Right, the reality is it's not really Facebook's job. Alrighty, coming up, there is a very dangerous association afoot between the White House and Big Tech to shut down information. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as we've been saying, if the idea is that one side of the political aisle is bad, 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 then the White House is justified in militarizing the weapons of the institutions against you. If, once again, you can label all of your political opponents extremists, unworthy of public debate, then you can militarize private institutions to stop them. And this is exactly what the White House basically announced they were doing yesterday. This is an unbelievable thing. It really is, and it should scare the hell out of everyone right, left, and center. Because if the Trump administration had said, we've called up Facebook, and we've told them, we think that they are distributing misinformation, and we need them to take down that misinformation right now for the good of the republic. And also, if they don't, you know, we do have oversight power with regard to Facebook. And now, Democrats have been making these sorts of signals for a while. You'll recall that Dianne Feinstein called, the senator from California, called Mark Zuckerberg before a Senate committee, and she said, if you don't stop this sort of stuff, we will. Which is a direct and open threat that we are only going to give you a level of immunity as long as you do what we want. Which does make them a quasi-state actor in the sense that they are now operating at the behest of a government. And government cannot use state actors or quasi-state actors, private institutions, that are operating under the explicit direction of the government in order to violate your rights. And the government does not have the power of, for example, unreasonable search and seizure. So if the government hires a private contractor and says, I want you to break into that guy's house and look in his house, they are now a government contractor. Or if they say, you know what, unless you break into that guy's house and ransack his safe, we are probably going to prosecute you. The government would be the actor in that particular scenario. The government is verging very closely on that when they say things like, we are directly telling Facebook what kind of content we want to come down. That is extremely, extremely dangerous, whether I agree with the kind of content that they're attempting to take down or not. And as we'll see, the reality is that whatever the left declares misinformation very often is not misinformation. So yesterday, the Surgeon General of the United States blamed big tech for COVID misinformation. And said, oh, well, you know, if big tech had just cracked down on COVID misinformation, there'd be less vaccine hesitancy. Okay, let's be clear about something. People who are vaccine hesitant are vaccine hesitant for a wide variety of reasons. One of those reasons is the public health debacle that has been the messaging from the Biden administration. The Trump administration was no great shakes when it came to public health information. There were a lot of conflicting messages from the Fauci, no one should wear a mask, to the Fauci, everyone should wear a mask. But the Biden administration has not only been no better, in many ways they've been worse. Since the advent of the Biden administration, Anthony Fauci has said that if you get a vaccine, you still can't take off your mask. He's still suggesting right now that three-year-olds ought to be wearing masks around in public, which is patently crazy. Okay, so all of this creates vaccine hesitancy. And then when you have the Biden administration pause J&J, the J&J vaccine, after six cases of some sort of rare blood clotting disorder, after 7 million doses, a lot of people go, wait, hold up a second. You know, the risk to me on COVID, it ain't that great. It looks like there might be a risk to me from the vaccine, so maybe I'll wait. Now, I'm a huge advocate of the vaccines. I think they're miraculous in nearly every way. I see no reason why I should inject my 7, 5, or 1-year-old with the vaccine at this point. Like, they are not subject to serious risk from COVID. And it's up to the adults to get vaccinated. Kids have never been at serious risk from COVID, statistically speaking. Kids are more likely to be killed by a lightning strike in the United States than they are to die of COVID. Something like 311 people under the age of 18 total in the United States have died during the entire COVID pandemic, compared with well over 600,000 Americans of other age groups who have died. Most of them in the older age range. Okay, but putting that aside, here is the point. Much of what has been distributed about COVID that is misinformation has been coming directly from your government. Again, Anthony Fauci was saying overtly false things repeatedly on a wide variety of topics, ranging from schools should stay closed to don't wear a mask to you need to wear a mask even after you're vaccinated, right? Like that sort of stuff is going out. So should the administration of the United States be the body that determines what Facebook should leave up and what Facebook should take down? Here's the Surgeon General of the United States blaming big tech for not taking down what the White House wanted them to take down.
Modern technology companies have enabled misinformation to poison our information environment with little accountability to their users. They've allowed people who intentionally spread misinformation, what we call disinformation, to have extraordinary reach. They've designed product features, such as like buttons, that reward us for sharing emotionally charged content, not accurate content. And their algorithms tend to give us more of what we click on, pulling us deeper and deeper into a well of misinformation.
Hey, first of all, the idea that confirmation bias only exists because of Facebook is nuts. Confirmation bias exists when a liberal New Yorker subscribes to the New York Times. That's confirmation bias. When Biden fans watch CNN or MSNBC, that is confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is an inevitable fact of life. Okay, and people tend to seek out news that they agree with from sources that they already agree with. Okay, that's a negative. It's why on my show I've recommended many times they listen to this show, and then you listen to shows that disagree with me, and you see who you like better and who you think is telling you the truth more. I've noticed that many shows that disagree with me do not provide the same sort of notification of their own bias. But having the Surgeon General of the United States blame Facebook for COVID misinformation and for vaccine hesitancy is crazy. It's the exact same tactic that the Democratic Party took in the aftermath of 2016 when they suggested the real reason Hillary Clinton lost was because of Facebook. It was not because Hillary Clinton was a crappy candidate. It's because of misinformation and disinformation on Facebook. The reason they said this is because they want to bring Facebook under their control. They wish to bring big tech under their control. They wish to use these as instruments of the Democratic Party. And if they can do so informally, then they can effectively end around the First Amendment of the United States by weaponizing institutions as governmental agents. That's what they are attempting to do here. Jen Psaki made this absolutely clear yesterday. I mean, this is wild authoritarian garbage. Here's Jen Psaki saying, you know what we've been doing? We've been actually notifying Facebook what we think is disinformation and telling them to take it down. That is, you really want the White House doing that? You want the White House going to, like, if the White House came to the New York Times and said, we need you to take down that story, it's disinformation. Do you think the New York Times would do it? Obviously not. If the Biden White House came to us here at Daily Wire and they said, you know that story that you have up? We think it's disinformation. Take it down. We might evaluate whether it is, in fact, disinformation, but we would then use our own independent judgment in taking it down. We wouldn't take the White House's word for it. The White House is attempting, and the White House doesn't have power over us. The White House has a lot more power over, for example, Facebook than it does over our news website. But here's Jen Psaki pretty much openly admitting that the power of the White House is now being used to leverage private companies into subverting free dissemination of information.
We've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content.
I mean, this is insane. They're basically saying we want to run these social media platforms from the White House. And if you don't let us, well then, I mean, I'm not sure we can hold back the antitrust regulators, guys. I'm not sure we can. And Barack Obama did some of the same stuff with regard to corporate America in the immediate aftermath of the economic crash of 2007-2008. And he famously said to a bunch of banking CEOs, I'm the only thing that stands between the mob and you. And they're out there holding pitchforks. So you need to do what I want. You know, using the power of the government to force private industries to do what you want them to do makes them quasi-state actors and removes the defense that these are private actors who can do what they want, because they obviously can no longer do what they want. It makes that defense very, very tenuous. And the HHS released a full statement yesterday on what technology platforms can do. Strengthen the monitoring of misinformation. Quote, platforms should increase staffing of multilingual content moderation teams and improve the effectiveness of machine learning algorithms in languages other than English, since non-English language misinformation continues to proliferate. Platforms should also address misinformation in live streams, which are more difficult to moderate due to their temporary nature and use of audio and video. Prioritize early detection of misinformation super spreaders and repeat offenders, and impose clear consequences for accounts that repeatedly violate platform policies. And who determines what is misinformation? The White House? This White House? Trump's White House? Like, whose White House? Who determines what's misinformation? The fact-checking apparatus that is solely run at this point by members of the left? Factcheck.org, which is always willing to grant a half-true rating to anything a Democrat says, but a for Pinocchio, wholly untrue statement to openly true things that people on the right say? And in the area of information, there has to be open discourse. Otherwise, the truth doesn't come out. If it had been up to the Biden White House, let's say Biden had been president last year, okay, and the Biden White House would have been pushing very hard, presumably, for Facebook to take down, quote-unquote, misinformation about the COVID lab leak theory. Okay, that in fact, they didn't even need to. Many of these technology platforms were banning people and censoring people for doing just that, for speculating that the COVID virus started in a lab leak. Well, now it turns out, according to the Washington Post, that the WHO said it will fix several unintended errors in a joint report with China on the origins of the COVID crisis and will look into other possible discrepancies. In response to questions from the Washington Post, the WHO is changing the virus sequence IDs associated with three of the 13 early patients listed in the chart in the report and will clarify the first family cluster was not linked to the Huanan Seafood Market in Wuhan, a spokesman said. So the entire narrative that this thing started at a wet market in Wuhan was nonsense from the beginning. The WHO covered it up, and now the WHO is uncovering it up. But if the informational dissemination had been completely cut down last year, you'd never find out about this, of course. The danger of people controlling these streams of information is extraordinary. Remember, for years we were treated to the idea that the Steele dossier might in fact be fact. And now it turns out, of course, that the Steele dossier was sheer patent nonsense that was come up with by a kind of discredited spy on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign laundered through Fusion GPS. But for years, that was reported on these platforms as true. So you're going to trust these platforms to determine what's true and what's not true? And more importantly, you're going to trust government actors to tell these platforms what is true and what is not true? There's an entire article in New York Magazine today by T.A. Frank titled, quote, "The Steele Dossier was a case study in how reporters get manipulated." To pick the worst press failure of the past half decade would be a daunting assignment, but the coverage of the Steele dossier would have to be high on any list. The document, penned by former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele, was commissioned in 2016 by the private research firm Fusion GPS, in turn working for the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. The aim was to dig up dirt on Donald Trump, especially regarding any ties he might have had to Russia. Steele delivered, alleging a long-standing conspiracy between Trump and the Kremlin and offering details that proved to be as unfounded as they were spectacular. Although they were almost certainly specious, these claims spawned countless news stories, including at New York Magazine, and prompted government investigations into possible ties between Moscow and Trump. The Steele dossier is just one recent instance of the media presenting the public with information that originated in a vast and opaque industry of private spies and operatives for hire who do business without all the rules and ethics of traditional media outlets, but who often inject their version of events into the mainstream press by feeding tips and scoops to reporters. Okay, and this is what happened with the Steele dossier. For example, now we are finding out, by the way, that when the tech platforms shut down all of the talk about Hunter Biden, we're now finding out, according to Politico, that last summer, in the middle of the summer, federal officials in Delaware already had enough information to seek search warrants and issue grand jury subpoenas in the Hunter Biden criminal investigation. Last summer. If the New York Post mentioned that a month before the election, they were kicked off the tech platforms. Okay, this is extremely dangerous stuff. And again, It is ends justified the means kind of thinking. Donald Trump had to go. This justified not only overt misinformation like the Steele dossier and the Russian ramp up and all of that. It justified bans on the New York Post a month before the election cycle, and it justifies the White House now telling these tech platforms what they can leave on and what they have to take off. If you don't think that that is authoritarianism, I don't know what to tell you. That is authoritarianism. It is authoritarian. It is state run in the same way that the Chinese government props up full corporations and then steps in and delists them from the New York Stock Exchange when it sees fit to do so. If private companies in the United States are subjected to the regulatory oversight of the people who are telling them what to do with their actual content moderation, now this is a state-sponsored enterprise. And now you have to start wondering, who is actually running the show? Is this free and fair competition? Is this free and open dissemination information? Or is this a backdoor violation of the First Amendment in the name of Stripe Bear Democracy and stopping the Nazis who live next door? We'll get to more of this in just 1 second, because it all comes with a friendly face, of course. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, ISPs, internet service providers, they're not just making money off subscription fees. They also make money from spying on your internet activity and then selling your history and data to the big tech companies. So what exactly is the best way to make sure 100% of your data is encrypted and that your internet provider can't get a hold of it? You guessed it, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet, so everything you do online is encrypted. It reroutes your connection through a secure server. This blocks your internet provider from seeing everything you do online. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, tablets, smart TVs, even your router, so your entire family can always stay protected. ExpressVPN is so simple to use. You just open up the app, you tap one button to connect, and that is it. Your data is your business. Protect it at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben right now to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, expressvpn.com/Ben, to learn more and get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, if The Democrats decide that you're the worst people in the world. Republicans, they don't have to work with you. They can do whatever they want. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
She's a purebred, orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DinoVite.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dinovite is nutrition.
You get some Dinovite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dinovite. She's little Miss Hollywood.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have decided bipartisanship is out the window. No negotiations. No more talk. Now is the time for action. So yesterday, the Democrats, in a rather little notice change, they just got rid of the Hyde Amendment. So the Hyde Amendment is a long-standing bipartisan agreement between Democrats and Republicans that there will be no direct federal funding of abortions. That if there is money that goes from the federal government to, for example, Planned Parenthood, it has to go into their non-abortion activities. Now, it's a bit of a legal fiction in the sense that all money is fungible. So if you fund Planned Parenthood's rents, they take the money they were going to use for their rents and then use that for abortions. But at the very least, the federal government was not going to be directly involved in the funding of abortion. And this was agreed to for literally decades, going all the way back to Henry Hyde proposing it decades ago. You know, he's a big supporter of this, Joe Biden. Well, yesterday, House Democrats on Monday took steps to advance a new spending bill for the DHS without the Hyde Amendment. In moving the spending bill to the full House Appropriations Committee for a debate and vote, Democrats followed through on President Joe Biden's proposed budget, which also did not include the amendment. House Democrats had indicated they would go this route, and in doing so have effectively guaranteed that abortion access will be a central focus of government funding negotiations between Democrats and Republicans, who do have the votes to block the Democrats' measure from passing the Senate without changes. The full House panel is expected to approve the bill and send the measure to the chamber for a vote. It's not yet clear if the measure can clear the narrowly divided chamber without the Hyde Amendment, given Democrats' slim majority. You'll remember that in 2018, Joe Biden was in favor of the Hyde Amendment, and then he reversed his stance because, of course, he was running to the left in order to try to fend off Bernie Sanders. The idea was that the federal government, abortion was so threatened by the states, the federal government had to step in, and they had to fund abortion. And now they're going to ram through your taxpayer dollars funding other people's abortions at the federal level on a sheer party line vote. Because the people who are standing in the way of that are so bad, you definitely cannot work with them. So they're getting rid of the Hyde Amendment totally. Right, you see, the House Appropriations Committee Chair Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut saying, quote, allowing the Hyde Amendment to remain on the books is a disservice to our constituents. Alexis McGill-Johnson, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, said in a statement her organization was thrilled. Quote, for far too long, the racist and sexist Hyde Amendment has put the government in control of a personal health decision for many people with low incomes. Has it, though? Because all it says is that I'm not paying for your abortion. It doesn't ban abortion in any way. It says I will not pay for your abortion, nor should the taxpayer. But the broader point here is pretty simple. Democrats have basically decided they no longer wish to work with people on the other side of the aisle, and their excuse for not attempting to negotiate, for not attempting to be bipartisan, is those people are just so bad we can't even talk to them. Right? This is why Jen Psaki is now saying that, you know, Joe Biden has changed his mind. He would love to have amnesty in this gigantic $3.5 trillion budget bill. He would love that. Sounds great to him. Now, you may be saying to yourself, wait a second, it's a budget bill. What is that? Like, shouldn't there be a separate immigration bill that's negotiated? Especially because in the past, there have been these sort of gang of eight scenarios, gang of 12 scenarios, where Republicans and Democrats have put together a framework for what to do, for example, about the so-called Dreamers, people who were brought to the United States as children, and their parents were illegal immigrants. And they were children, so they were not born in the United States. What to do about those folks? There has been some attempt at bipartisanship on this in the past. Now, Democrats are like, those Republicans are just so terrible. We won't negotiate with them. We're just going to ram this thing through. Here's Jen Psaki saying, yeah, you know, after all, old Joe here, he would love amnesty in the budget bill.
The Senate and House Democrats say that they want to put a citizenship pathway into the reconciliation package. Mm-hmm. Is the White House supportive of that strategy?
Yes. Okay, not only that, Chuck Schumer has now signaled that he is going to force a vote on the quote-unquote bipartisan infrastructure plan negotiated by Mitt Romney on the one side and people like Kristen Sinema on the other. This is a $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan. Schumer's plan here is force the Republicans to vote on the bipartisan plan before they get to this $3.5 trillion plan they plan to shove down at the same time, which they're going to do on a share party line vote. Now, Mitt Romney needs to say, I will not vote for this unless I have assurances from Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema that they do not vote for the boondoggle plan. Basically, this whole silly game was created by the Democrats in order that think of a water balloon. If you squeeze one end of the water balloon, all of the water just goes to the other side of the water balloon. This is basically what they've done with their two-part strategy, their two-part legislative strategy, right? On what they said is, here's the bipartisan bill. Bipartisan bill was $2 trillion. And here was the sheer party line vote bill. And let's say that bill was going to be $3 trillion. Well, if we squeeze out like $1 trillion here in the bipartisan bill, it'll just inflate the partisan bill over here. And it'll get larger. And so in the end, the combined bills will be the exact same amount of spending. It's just that Joe Biden will have been able to say that he did it with the veneer of bipartisanship. This needs to stop now. Romney needs to make clear that it's going to stop now unless Manchin and Sinema kill the $3.5 trillion boondoggle that Biden is pushing forward. Well, what does this result in? What this results in is more and more Americans feeling like, you know what? I don't have a ton of commonality with people in the rest of the country. If the federal government sees me as the enemy, if the institutions weaponized by the federal government or in coordination with the federal government, in coordination with the media, if those institutions are weaponized against me, if I'm the guy that is going to be called by the Joint Chiefs of Staff a Nazi because I voted for Trump, if that's who I am, well, then I don't wish to share a country with you. There's a new poll out showing support for essentially regional unions. And it's a pretty fascinating poll. This poll is courtesy of YouGov. Okay, and what the poll shows is that 66% of Republicans in the Southeast, ranging from Texas to Florida, say that they would be interested in seceding from the United States to join a new regional union. Now, this is sort of paralleled by the Northwest. In the Northwest, 47%, like basically the West Coast, 47% of Democrats say that they would like to secede from the United States to join a new regional union. In other words, where people are living in more red states or more blue states, they feel more alienated. But particularly people in red states right now feel like they are under assault, which is why they're seeking more state level action, more strong governors in order to stand up against federal predation. This is just going to continue. It's just going to continue. And all the unity that Joe Biden promised, it doesn't exist so long as Joe Biden refuses to say to his own base that your neighbors are not the enemy. And he refuses to, if he doesn't refuse to characterize his neighbors as the enemy, This is going to get much worse, much, much more quickly. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. A new report finds the United States Navy may be in trouble. And former U.S. Senator Jim Talent telling the Salem Radio Network he's not surprised.
Senator Talent says one problem is that ships are being deployed for so long they can't go through their regular training and maintenance cycles.
And when you do that for a long period of time, well, maintenance and training suffer. Right? And that has an impact on operational readiness.
Talent says he would have been surprised had the report come to a different conclusion.
And it's extremely concerning. The force is too small. It doesn't have the capabilities it needs.
Former Senator Talent was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Bob Agner reporting.
A former NASA employee going to prison for cheating the government out of pandemic-related financial assistance. Andrew Tesna has been sentenced to 18 months after pleading guilty to submitting bogus applications. Also at townhall.com, another major recall in the automotive industry, Keith Peters reports.
Ford is recalling about 775,000 Ford Explorers because of potential fractures in the rear suspension. A seized cross-axis ball joint may cause a fractured rear suspension toe link. Impacted vehicles may experience unusual handling or a misaligned rear wheel. Fracture of a rear toe link significantly diminishes steering control, increasing the risk of a crash. The recall includes Explorer vehicles from 2013 through 2017. Keith Peters reporting.
Federal prosecutors say a man in California had 5 illegal pipe bombs, nearly 50 weapons at his home and work, as he allegedly conspired to firebomb the state Democratic Party headquarters in Sacramento. The man's attorney, though, says the alleged plot was nothing more than drunken talk between two buddies. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the nation is seeing a serious rise in the coronavirus cases.
Our 7-day average is about 26,300 cases per day, and this represents an increase of nearly 70% from the prior 7-day average.
United Kingdom has recorded more than 50,000 new COVID cases for the first time in 6 months, amid a warning from the British government's top medical advisor that the number of people hospitalized could get, quote, quite scary within the next few weeks. Infections have surged mainly among younger age groups that have not been vaccinated. In the meantime, South Korea has reported another 1,450 new cases of the virus, 11th straight day over the 1,000 mark. Officials are pushing to tighten pandemic restrictions there nationwide. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A correspondent, Ben Thomas, reports retail sales starting to climb higher again last month.
Retail sales growth has slowed since March, when most Americans received pandemic stimulus checks. And as Americans get vaccinated, they've spent less on goods and more on hotels, haircuts, and other services. But the Commerce Department report shows June sales were up 0.6%, with Americans spending more on clothing, electronics, and dining out.
Stocks were lower Friday. Dow Industrials losing nearly 300 points for the day, closing the session at 34,687. On the tech side, the Nasdaq dropped 116 points, 14,427. The S&P 500 was off 32 for the day at 4,327. New York oil was up 16 cents at $71.81 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, the Biden administration is in a celebratory mood. They are very, very excited because now the time has come to pay people money. It's time for some more money just being given to you by the government. Not because of the taxes you pay. It's not a tax rebate. Nope. This is the government just giving you money if you have kids. Now, I know there are a lot of sort of populist conservatives who are very happy with this idea that the government is just going to give you some sort of means-tested check because you have children. And supposedly, this is going to incentivize the creation of children. Here's a problem. That's generally not how having kids works, because it turns out that the amount of money that's being given to people, like $300 a month for every child under the age of 6, and then $250 a month for everyone aged 6 to 17, is probably not going to be used on the kids. And let's just be real about this. When the government pays people to have kids, the people who tend to take them up on this are the people who are on the low end of the income spectrum, not the higher end of the income spectrum, which leads to more government dependency. We have a very long history in this country of welfare programs that are means tested and have dramatically increased, for example, the single motherhood rate, and have dramatically decreased people getting back in the workforce. We had a whole welfare reform debate in the late 90s in trying to link welfare to work, right? Getting people back off the unemployment lines and back to work. Here's the thing. When people say there's a child tax credit, like the government's just going to sign you a check for your kids, is there any guarantee that you use that money for your kids? Like, really, I see no guarantee that that money is used for the kids at all, because it isn't. Instead, it is just money that people are going to use for whatever people use the money for. And the fact that these sorts of programs in the past have not actually alleviated child poverty in any serious way, because the only thing that alleviates child poverty in a very serious way is not a government check, but actually a job and upward mobility in the economy. When you sign people checks to stay home, they tend to stay home. And we were already seeing this. There was a poll that came out just last week showed 1.8 million Americans right now are staying home and not trying to get a job in a job-rich environment because the government has been paying them extended unemployment benefits. Well, let's say that you are a single mom of three, and suddenly you're getting $900 a month. Okay, well, this is incentivizing you, presumably, not to go get a job, not to go to work. And it's also incentivizing people to have kids that they can't really pay for, because remember, it's means tested. So if you're in a family where the parents are making over a combined $150,000, for example, you get no money from any of this. So I just don't understand exactly what this is intended to do. It doesn't alleviate child poverty in the long run. There are no longitudinal studies that demonstrate that these sorts of check signings suggest that child poverty is alleviated. Anytime you send somebody a check for that month, a certain level of poverty has been alleviated. But over the long run, if you are disincentivizing work, that is the ladder out of permanent poverty. So Joe Biden was out touting this yesterday. It's a radical revision of how welfare was done, because, again, welfare used to be tied to work requirements. We were trying to get people into the workforce. We were trying to incentivize people to have kids when they could afford it. Now we are incentivizing to have people to have kids when they can't afford it and incentivizing them to stay out of the workforce. Here is Joe Biden celebrating.
To give you a sense of how transformative this would be the largest ever one-year decrease in child poverty in the history of the United States of America, as we begin now. Historic reductions in child poverty among white, black, and Latinos in AAPI communities. It's not even close. The benefits will be felt for years. Studies have shown that tax relief that helps children, that's okay, don't worry about it. It's okay to let them cry, or her, whichever.
Okay, so the idea here is that it's going to sharply cut poverty, but this is because there's a basic leftist conceit, which is that if you sign people checks, this cuts poverty. If that were true, then communism would cut poverty dramatically, because obviously the government just cuts people checks. If this were true, then heavy social welfare programs would be the bleeding edge of cutting poverty in states, as opposed to, you know, the capitalist economy that actually creates the money necessary in order to alleviate poverty. According to Heritage Foundation, President Biden's new plan that would greatly increase the welfare state would provide $78 billion per year in new cash grants to families who owe no income tax. That $78 billion in new cash benefits would be added to the nearly $500 trillion government currently spends on cash, food, housing, medical care for lower income families with children. This would be the second largest expansion of means-tested welfare entitlements in American history. In constant dollars, its annual cost would dwarf the initial cost of the Medicaid, food stamp, and aid to families with dependent children programs. Only Obamacare would be more expensive. The Biden plan would increase the child cash grants from the current level of $2,000 per child to $3,000 per child from 6 to 17 years of age and $3,600 for children under 6. Critically, the Biden plan would eliminate all existing work obligations from the current child credit program. By doing so, says the Heritage Foundation correctly, President Biden rejects the foundational principles of welfare reform established in the 1990s. That reform was rooted in a basic concept. Welfare shouldn't be a one-way handout. Instead, welfare should be based on a reciprocal obligation. Society should help people who need assistance, but able-bodied recipients of aid should in turn be required to work or at least prepare for work in exchange for the aid given. By increasing cash benefits while eliminating work requirements, the Biden plan increases dependency and reduces work. This is harmful to the poor, to taxpayers, and to society in general. Okay, this is the reality. The United States has spent something like $22 trillion in the war on poverty, and precisely the same percentage of the American population lives under the poverty line as lived under the poverty line when all of these welfare programs really kicked into high gear in the 1960s. So there are a bunch of features of this program that are common to other welfare programs, but these sorts of welfare programs tend to create massive incentives for people not to work. That is not a massive shock. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about your energy level. So I'm a busy dude. I write books, host the show. I have three kids myself. I have a lot on my plate. That is why I recommend M-Drive, the everyday supplement for men driven to stay ahead in their life and career who want to be the best at what they do and not slow down while doing it. M-Drive will give you the energy to tackle your busy days and still be at your best when you go home at night. Invented by a world-class scientist who made it for himself to fight back against aging, M-Drive is packed with clinically tested ingredients that help boost your energy and strength. Get your M-Drive at mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. They've got free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Energy, strength, and drive, these are the things that you want. Join the growing community of driven men who aren't ready to slow down just yet. Go to mdriveformen.com. Promo code BEN. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Again, energy levels, they can actually ratchet down as you age, and particularly if you have a lot of stressors in your life, your energy can start to wane. M-Drive can help you with that. Go check them out right now. MDriveForMen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, so you got nothing to lose. MDriveForMen.com, promo code BEN. Okay, so, as the Heritage Foundation points out, the maximum benefit level and phase-down rates of programs affect labor supply and earnings through two mechanisms. An income effect and a net wage or phase down effect. Individuals make choices between labor and leisure. Labor in this sense means work for pay. Leisure means all non-labor activities. Leisure is assumed to be a normal good, meaning that as income rises, individuals seek to obtain more leisure along with other goods and services. In other words, as you make more money, you seek more leisure. The income effect occurs because as income rises, the individual will seek to consume more leisure. So if you artificially boost the amount of money that people are making, they seek more leisure because, again, they don't have to work as much because they have more money. Basically, what we find is that programs like this tend to reduce work. And here's the thing the left will say. They'll say, well, that's good. We should reduce work. Jobs, after all, are bad. Jobs are not good. Jobs lead you to things like job lock. You're doing stuff that you don't want to do. We need universal child. Why exactly should people work? And the answer is people should work because not only do they have an obligation to help, you know, actually pay the bills for their kids, not only does that incentivize responsibility before you have kids in the first place, also people tend to find a level of meaning and mobility in work. Welfare tends to be a cycle of dependency. Once you're dependent on welfare, it's difficult to break that cycle of dependency. And that's particularly true because the more money you make, the faster welfare phases out. Okay, so all of this is a problem, but it's being treated as a solution by the Biden administration, of course. Because, again, if you're looking for a social welfare state along the lines of Denmark, first of all, I'm not sure how any of this is going to get paid for. It is worthy of note that the highest tax bracket kicks in for members of the Danish community. If you are from Denmark, you're paying the highest tax bracket at like $65,000 a year. At a certain point, the bill is going to come due for this, and it's not going to be hitting people at the top income level. You just can't take that much money out of the top income level anymore. And meanwhile, on the cultural level, it is fairly impressive how the institutions have been completely renormalized by the radical left. Big story out yesterday, the National Football League, which featured Lift Every Voice and Sing, commonly known as the quote-unquote black national anthem, according to the Daily Wire, is now planning to feature the song as a prominent part of all big league events, including the Super Bowl, NFL playoffs, NFL draft, and NFL kickoff game, according to Front Office Sports. The NFL already featured Alicia Keys and the Cleveland All-City Choir singing Lift Every Voice and Sing before the last Super Bowl and even before the 2021 NFL draft. Front Office Sports noted, quote, starting this May, the NFL began to highlight its $250 million social justice effort via an Inspire Change content series. They have an Inspire Change explainer essay, which takes viewers through the process of why the league and its players are addressing social injustice around the country. Last summer, the NFL and its clubs committed $250 million over 10 years to social justice causes. Apparently, the attempt here is going to be to polarize Americans along racial lines. It is bizarre that we need two national anthems before every NFL game. Yeah, the more woke the NFL gets, the less people are going to want to watch it. I think one of the reasons the ratings are up with the NBA this season is not just because people are kind of going back to regular life, but also because the NBA is markedly less woke. You don't have Black Lives Matter on the sidelines. You don't have equality on the back of people's jerseys or equity on the back of people's jerseys. If the NFL really wants to buy this ticket, they are going to take this ride. It is amazing to me that these corporate overlords still think that people are not going to kick back against this. They absolutely are going to kick back against this sort of racial polarization for no apparent reason in the first place. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get to a new piece from the Washington Post revealing that the United States has actually been funding China's garbage vaccine. Their vaccine is really ineffective. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact that now is an excellent time to refi your mortgage. A lower mortgage rate can make a noticeable difference on your budget. This is true. You could be saving hundreds of bucks a month simply by refinancing to these incredibly low rates. Think of how much that can help. Then, pick up the phone and call American Financing. Do it now before rates get any higher. I mean it. I've been telling you about market projections for the second half of this year. Rates are expected to rise at some point. You really should not miss out on what is available right now. After all, it only takes a 10-minute call to get started. You'll get a free, no-obligation mortgage review, which will tell you if you can save up to $1,000 a month. It's just that easy. So, don't put this off any longer. Give them a call right now at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, MLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now. It's a great time to refi your mortgage. AmericanFinancing.net. Once more, that is AmericanFinancing.net. Or give them a call at 866-721-3300. Once more, 866-721-3300. It's a historically good time to refinance your mortgage. Go get it done right now. AmericanFinance.net. All right, coming up, we're going to be jumping into the mailbag and taking some of your questions. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Korchak's coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, no, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her, and we're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking your questions in the mailbag right now. You got to be a member in order to get those questions answered. Head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe right now to do so. Danielle says, hey, Ben, do you think Virginia might be in play for the midterms and 2024? Yes, I do, actually. I think that Virginia is still a very purple state. The legislature in Virginia is still really, really closely divided. And so there is every opportunity for Republicans to make serious gains in, for example, the Virginia General Assembly. Right? They narrowly lost it. Like last time around, right now, the Democrats in the Senate in Virginia hold a 21-18 advantage. In the House of Delegates, they hold a 55-45 advantage. That could easily shift the other way, particularly in the Senate, right? That's not very many seats in the Senate. And the Democrats have done a poor job in Virginia. Okay, they're trying to run Terry McAuliffe again because Terry McAuliffe was relatively popular in Virginia. But he's also, you know, a corrupt old Democrat. And so there is every opportunity for Republicans to make gains. The biggest problem in Virginia, obviously, has been the spread of the Washington, D.C. suburbs, all of these government employees who now live in Northern Virginia. But there's going to be a backlash to what Joe Biden is doing in 2022, and it is not going to be good for the Democrats. Joseph says, hey, Ben, is there anyone you think is a good candidate for the California governor position? There's so many to pick from. I've narrowed it down to Kevin Falconer, Doug Osei, and Kevin Paffrath. I like all their agendas. I'm not sure who's a strong candidate. Also, Gavin Newsom is the worst and a totalitarian. He has made my life worse since I'm a state worker. So I do like Falconer. I don't know enough about Osei and Paffrath to really sound off about them. I will say that right now, if you look at the polls, it is unlikely that Gavin Newsom even is recalled, right? There will be a vote. It is unlikely that they surpass the first barrier to recall Gavin Newsom. But it's a pretty obvious sign there are a lot of people in California who are dissatisfied. Hopefully that means a sea change. I have fears about California long term, which is why I am now a resident of Florida. Joseph says, hey, Ben, I think we need a theme song for Joe Biden versus the teleprompter like we had for Good Trump, Bad Trump. What do you think? I'm up for that. I feel like we need some, like, Rocky music. We've used it once or twice, and I feel like we could do that. Allie says, hey, Ben, my husband works as sales manager at a billion-dollar tech company here in Utah. The company has gotten more woke each year. Recently, he was told that a Turkish Muslim man he wants to hire didn't count as a diversity hire and basically is too white. My question is, considering it is illegal to discriminate in hiring based on race, sex, etc., is it illegal to discriminate in initial prospecting of a hiring pool to choose who to give interviews to in the first place? So it should be. Hiring and firing, that entire process, you're not allowed to racially discriminate under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, there are companies that openly do this. Right? There are companies who openly say, it's kind of incredible. There are companies who openly say that they will discriminate on the basis of race in favor of particular races. And since every job is a zero-sum game, only one person can get it, this means discrimination against somebody else. If you say, I'm hiring a black person for this position, you mean I'm not hiring anybody of anybody else for this position, right? Of any other race for this position. That seems like a lawsuit. It depends how clear they're being. Usually they edge around this to avoid legal liability, and they find some other excuse. Oh, well, it's diverse background that matters. And by diverse background, we mean race, but we're going to pretend we don't mean race. And that is the sort of nonsense that is pushed all the time. Tom says, hey, Ben, what's your best advice to any 1L student? Are there any Alan Dershowitz books you recommend on the Israel-Palestine conflict? Big fan. Hope to apply to DW one day. My best advice to a 1L student, read The Descent. Read The Descent. Okay, because very often, big decisions are taken as sort of, they're taken for granted, and you're supposed to just agree with them. Read The Dissent, because usually the dissent, especially in Supreme Court cases that are sort of historic, tend to be more telling than the original statements. So do not simply abide by whatever your professor tells you, and don't fall for the simple psychological trap that professors set in law school of telling you that because all text is malleable, all text is endlessly malleable, and because you are smart, you have the ability to rule the world. This is something that we were actually told by Elena Kagan when we were 1Ls at Harvard Law, that we were all going to be ruling the world, which is sort of an arrogant statement. As far as Alan Dershowitz books I recommend on the Israel-Palestine conflict, he does have one called The Case for Israel that's pretty good. Joshua says, hey, Ben, after reading Irreversible Damage, as a father of a six-year-old girl, I'm freaked out she'll end up like some of the girls in the book. She's a girly girl, but so are some of the girls in the book. My wife and I are active in our church, share our conservative values with our kids, and I often wonder after reading the book, what's the best way to prevent the horrors detailed in the book from happening to our daughter? Thoughts. You got to protect your kid from all of these influences. And you have to mock. You have to mock this nonsense. You do. If your daughter comes home one day and she says, you know, people in class were talking about how girls can be boys. You say, well, that's a dumb idea. That's really stupid. Because guess what? It's stupid. Girls cannot be boys. You can say there is a condition called gender dysphoria. It's a medical condition, okay, with an actual medical with a clinical diagnosis. Hey, you don't suffer from that. You can do that. But yeah, I mean, this is why you have to check out of the culture. The culture is terrible. The culture is undermining basic truths, basic realities. It's quite horrifying. And so the ability to do that is really important. You need to be able to mock silly ideas in front of your children and to dismiss them, because they deserve mockery and dismissal. And don't let your kids be exposed to it as much as humanly possible. There's a reason my kids go to private school and they don't go to public school, even in a state like Florida, which is more conservative. Newbar says, hey, Ben, in this dizzying world of information overload, it's getting harder than ever to know who to trust for unbiased news without an agenda. Mainstream discourse can be so loud and predetermined that serious world events go by almost entirely unnoticed. For example, the war between Armenia and Azerbaijan in 2020. Could you name some independent journalists who you trust not to nitpick stories based on ideological narrative? Well, I mean, everybody has their biases, and so what I try to do is expose myself to a wide range of opinions. So on Armenia and Azerbaijan, and we had on somebody who was writing for Heritage Foundation on this, who seemed to be rather pro-Azerbaijan, and then we had on an advocate for Armenia in that particular conflict. And then we kind of discussed with both of them the same questions. And that's very often a way to get informed about a topic when you don't know very much about the topic, but you know, it sort of depends on the topic. When it comes to issues of, for example, predation of parents' rights, I trust Abigail Schreier on that stuff. When it comes to bias in journalism, I trust Barry Weiss on that kind of stuff. These are all people who are not particularly openly conservative, right? But sometimes that is a necessary tool in order for you to be able to appeal to people who are not conservative and point out, you know, that even people who are not on the right agree with you. Owen says, hey, Ben, what are the chances that the Manhattan DA's special grand jury probe will end in charges against Trump? Has a former president ever been indicted? Thanks and love the show. No, a former president has never been indicted so far as I'm aware. You have had Supreme Court justices, I believe, who've been indicted in the past, right? They've been impeached and then indicted. But I don't think you've ever seen a former president be indicted. I'm actually not. I mean, I'm sure of that, actually. What are the chances that they do it? I mean, since this is their stated goal, I would say the chances that they do it are at least 50-50. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're out to get Trump at this point. I mean, Letitia James, the AG of New York, came into office pledging to get Trump, which is an unbelievable breach of due process. But that is where we are. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Gillies Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Chips.org, today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons why I'm very glad that I moved my company over to Tennessee and why I moved my family to Florida. This is yet another good reason. According to KCLA.com, L.A. County is now re-implementing its mask mandate indoors regardless of vaccination status. It does not matter if you are already vaccinated. Amid an increase in COVID case numbers and concerns over the Delta variant, the new masking order goes into effect at essentially midnight on Saturday night. We're not where we need to be for the millions at risk of infection here in L.A. County, and waiting to do something will be too late given what we are seeing, said L.A. County Health Officer Dr. Muntu Davis. L.A. County has seen several consecutive days with more than 1,000 new cases reported daily amid a rapid and sustained spike in the number of infections. The county recorded about 1,500 new COVID cases Thursday, an 83% increase over the last week. Davis said, masking indoors must again become a normal practice by all, regardless of vaccination status, so they can stop trends and level of transmissions we're currently seeing. And Davis said, we will keep this in place indefinitely. Okay, that came after the health department on June 28th started strongly recommending people wear masks indoors in public places, and that came 2 weeks after Gavin Newsom lifted the statewide mask mandate. So LA County is now ranked as having substantial COVID community transmission. This is unbelievably stupid. The reason this is stupid is because unvaccinated people are the main vectors of transmission. They have been the main vectors of transmission. If you are vaccinated, your chances of getting seriously ill or dying from COVID, even the Delta variant, are very, very, like, vanishingly low. If you have had the vaccine, you are, for all intents and purposes, statistically safe from COVID. Now, that doesn't mean that you couldn't get a breakthrough case. Some of that's been happening in Israel. But the point is that in Israel, they're having like 800 cases a day diagnosed in Israel. And the number of deaths on a daily basis is like 2. And the people who are dying are generally people who are unvaccinated. If every adult in the United States above the age of 12 has had the ability to get a vaccine at this point, and they don't, that's now on you. At a certain point, you are going to have to stop trying to micromanage a virus whose deadliness post-vaccine has been reduced lower than the level of the flu. According to KCLA, however, the health officer said, given that the slightly under 4 million LA County residents are not vaccinated, the risk of increased spread of this variant within our county remains high. It's disappointing that overall vaccination numbers are lower than we need them to be. And Davis said, anything is on the table if things continue to get worse. So in other words, we're going to punish people who are vaccinated. They're safe, and we're going to make sure that they don't go back to normal life. This is all part and parcel of the idiotic public health rollout that suggested you didn't get special privileges if you were vaccinated in the first place. Imagine if the entire public health establishment starting in January had said, listen, you get vaccinated, you're back to regular life. How many people would have just said, okay, sounds good? Okay, part of this is due also to the media fundamentally not understanding the science. So you kept hearing mRNA vaccines. They've never been tried before. mRNA vaccine technology has been around for quite a while, actually, and has been used in a multiplicity of scientific studies and cases. Yesterday, my wife and I were on a plane. My wife was reading all about the mRNA vaccine technology, and it truly is an amazing thing. But mRNA vaccines are not unsafe. The idea that these are more unsafe somehow than, like, typical whole cell vaccines is kind of wild, actually. And yet, we are still going to pursue this stupid idiocy. And you know what this really is in the end for a lot of people? It's actually in blue cities designed in an almost paganistic sense that you are making a sacrifice. You have to continue to sacrifice. The mask makes you morally virtuous, morally superior. Here's the thing. I was perfectly willing to wear the mask up until the point I was vaccinated. Now I'm not willing to wear the mask. I'm not. I'm vaccinated. I don't pose a risk to others. I am not a main vector of transmission. I'm not going to get seriously ill from the virus. It is asinine to ask children to mask up. Dr. Fauci yesterday suggested that kids at age 3 should be masking up, which is nuts. Kids were never a main vector of transmission and are not getting seriously ill from the virus. When you have the White House saying they're going to police who gets to post information about COVID online and then disseminates information that is directly anti-science, it is very hard to take them particularly seriously. Meanwhile, according to Josh Rogan writing in the Washington Post, Beijing has been exploiting the pandemic to advance its political and financial interests since COVID-19 emerged in late 2019 in China. The latest and perhaps most egregious example came this week when COVAX, the WHO World, the World Health Organization-backed initiative, announced its new plan to purchase up to 550 million doses of China's Sinovac and Sinopharm vaccines, with expected costs in the billions. Now, this is absurd for a variety of reasons. Not only have these vaccines been shown to be less effective, but China has contributed no money to the COVAX program and has donated 0 shots from its national stockpile. By contrast, the United States is COVAX's largest donor. In other words, we gave COVAX, a Chinese company, $4 billion to distribute 55 million donated shots and promised to donate 500 million more at no charge. During Wednesday's Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing, ranking Republican James Risch of Idaho called the COVAX contract appalling. He asked Samantha Power, head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, to comment on the irony that China has contributed nothing to COVAX and yet now stands to profit from it when indeed they started this whole mess in the first place. And Power said it is appalling that Beijing chose to make a profit on those vaccines rather than to contribute financially to COVAX or to donate its state-owned vaccines to COVAX to reach people in their hour of desperate need. Power did express sympathy for the buying COVAX is in. Hundreds of millions of doses promised to organizations are delayed. India cut its pledged contribution to deal with the domestic surge. U.S. and European shots are on the way. The most countries would prefer non-Chinese vaccines. COVAX might be forgiven for turning to Beijing. Still, there's no excuse for what China did in charging COVAX for the shot. So in essence, COVAX is sort of a pass-through, and we are funding COVAX to pay China for their garbage vaccines. A senior U.S. official says it's not actually the U.S. donated money that Gavi, the parent organization of COVAX, is using to pay the Chinese company. Gavi will not use funds attributable to U.S. contributions to support Sinopharm and Sinovac procurement, the official said. But the claim is specious because, again, money is fungible. So if we pay COVAX and then COVAX takes another dollar it was going to use for something else and pays China, it's still our dollar paying China effectively. A senior administration official said, quote, the United States is deeply disappointed that China has provided no financial support to COVAX for vaccinations in low and middle income countries and has chosen to sell its vaccines to COVAX rather than contribute to COVAX financially. Well, the reality is that basically we should have told the Chinese to stick it and we should have redirected our money toward COVAX using those dollars to pay for good vaccines. Instead, and Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Rob Menendez got this right. He said the U.S. should rebalance distribution of its surplus shots more toward bilateral agreements and less toward international organizations. In other words, if India needs vaccine, we should help donate our extra vaccine to India instead of going through international organizations, which, by the way, should generally be the rule. Bilateral, not international, is better. International organizations get hijacked and used by countries that dislike the United States. Coming up, we'll get into more of this first. There are 1,000 reasons why protecting my home matters to me. If somebody stops by or something is going on outdoors around the home, Ring will let me know. It's peace of mind anytime knowing my home is protected. At my house, I can keep an eye on every corner of our house with Ring's easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams. To get Ring Alarm for yourself, go to ring.com/Ben. It is the perfect way to start your Ring experience. The thing I enjoy most, besides Ring being a powerful asset for my home, Ring is also an affordable whole-home security system you can easily install yourself. It's never been more important to be able to see who's there, or what's happening anytime around the house, inside or outside. I can see it all in one simple app. That's correct. With Ring, my family and I can keep an eye on our home no matter where we are right from our phone. It's great to know you're never going to miss a visitor with Ring's hassle-free, easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams and know when those packages are delivered. Start protecting your home today with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben. Get your Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build the system that's right for your home. Have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben, ring.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, ring.com/Ben, and then go check out Ring Alarm because, again, that security kit, deeply necessary, pretty awesome stuff. Okay, so the Washington Post writes, President Biden is trying to convince Americans U.S. involvement in multilateral organizations is the best way to preserve a world order that stands as a bulwark against rising authoritarianism, but that requires using U.S. influence and leadership to push those organizations to reform over the long term and making sure they don't send American money to our adversaries right now. Otherwise, populist calls to defund these organizations will grow louder and, indeed, more credible. Let this sad saga be a reminder to all of the mendacity of Xi Jinping's claims that China supports and even seeks to lead a UN-centered international system based on the rule of law. Of course they don't. Of course they don't. By the way, this also should be a really giant warning to all those idiots on the progressive left who keep saying things like, you know, what if we just, like, ignore the imprisonment of the Uyghurs by the millions? What if we just ignore that so that China will work with us on global warming? They are not going to do any of that. They are an adversarial power. They've made absolutely clear that they believe they have the upper hand with regard to the West because they've used the power of their market, their 1.4 billion people, in order to basically hijack American corporations and use them as lobbying groups in favor of openness toward China. China does not fear the West, and they are acting like they do not fear the West, and the West is providing them zero reason for them to fear at this point. There should be bipartisan agreements in Washington to do something about China, and it's going to have to go beyond, let's spend a few bucks on R&D. It's going to have to go beyond, let's create some sort of slush fund boondoggle for our friends at particular R&D companies. We're going to have to take some serious action with regard to sanctions on China. We're going to have to move toward the establishment of a U.S. digital currency that can be used in lieu of, like, China's moving on that front, by the way. China's creating digital currencies in order to try and essentially debase the U.S. currency as the world currency. The U.S. needs to fight back on that. Like, there's a lot to do with regard to China. I will tell you one thing that we don't need to do right now with regard to China, and that is sign them giant checks for their terrible vaccines after they unleash a virus that kills several million people the world over. Fairly unbelievable that the United States and the West continue to play China's game. No wonder Xi Jinping has the confidence to basically do whatever he wants, knowing that he can always fill in the gaps with American and Western appeasement. In just a second, we're going to be visiting some of your questions in the mailbag first. ISPs aren't just making money off subscription fees. They're also making money from spying on your internet activity and selling your history and data to big companies. So what is the best way to make sure 100% of your data is encrypted and that your internet provider can't get a hold of it? You guessed it, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet, so everything you do online is encrypted. It reroutes your connection through a secure server, which blocks your ISP from seeing everything you do online. ExpressVPN will work on all your devices, tablets, smart TVs, even your router, so your entire family can always stay protected. ExpressVPN is simple to use. You just open up the app, you tap one button to connect, and that's it. Your data is your business protected at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. ExpressVPN.com, they do an excellent job. They're really, really easy to use. You download the entire app with like one click of a button. And then with another click of a button, you're now protected. And it runs on all your devices. In fact, you can even put it on your home router so that anybody who's using your home internet, it applies to. Go check out expressvpn.com/Ben right now to protect your online activity, which, again, is mostly how you're doing business these days. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be jumping into the mailbag and taking some of your questions. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of 5-star reviews and an A+ on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last. Because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are doing your questions in the mailbag. Become a member today at dailywire.com/subscribe, and your question may be answered in the mailbag. Ethan says, what role did the war on drugs play in the deterioration of the black family versus the war on poverty? If LBJ's welfare state was the most to blame, why is it that the black family has suffered the most? A fellow student in my law class said Nixon introduced crack to black inner city communities in order to lock blacks up and prevent them from voting in elections. How true is this? Thank you for all. Well, I have no evidence that Richard Nixon introduced crack to black inner city communities. I mean, that is a hell of a conspiracy theory. And the reality is that by the mid-1980s, it was black leaders who were calling for harsher sentences on crack dealers because crack dealers were wrecking these communities. The notion that the war on drugs is responsible for the skyrocketing single motherhood rate in the black community is a bizarre one, considering that the war on drugs really started in full swing in the 70s and 80s, and the rise in the black motherhood rate, single motherhood rate, came in the late 60s already, right, early 70s. The fact is that crack dealers were not, typically speaking, crack dealers do not make the kinds of people who are living solid family lives, I think it is fair to say. You can be against the war on drugs. You can think that the war on drugs is a waste of time and it's a waste of money. But the suggestion that the war on drugs was specifically designed to harm black people is a sort of bizarre contention, considering that it was indeed high levels of crack cocaine use that were leading to the complete disintegration of inner cities in the United States. Not according to me, according to people like Jesse Jackson in the 1980s. Axel says, hey Ben, are there any good American history podcasts you recommend? Looking for something without a clear leftist bias. Well, I don't know if they're doing a podcast yet, but I know that the 1776 Project has been putting out all sorts of great material. They recently put out a new book about American history that is well worth checking out. Dan says, hey Ben, I recently started watching your show per a suggestion from my brother. Do you have any suggestions for people that have already failed your three steps to being wealthy in the U.S.? I don't have a college degree. I've been in the workforce for a long time. I have a number of marketable skills. I can't seem to get above the $40,000 a year threshold. Without a degree, I apply for new jobs online. I'm not getting calls for interviews because I assume my resume is getting looked over for others that have degrees. A few years ago, I was married. My son was born. He's 5 now. Through some very unfortunate circumstances outside my control, I'm divorced. For my son's safety and well-being, he's with me full-time. His mother gets supervised visitation. I'm trying to do what's right for him, trying to provide him with the best life I can. Do you have any advice for me? Well, it is true. I mean, there are certain systemic problems with regard to the labor market. One of those problems is credentialism. I talk about this actually at length in my new book, The Authoritarian Moment, that college degrees have basically become a ticket for admission into the job market in too many areas where they really should not be a ticket to admission. But I'm not sure what you do for a living, and so it's hard for me to tell you on a specific level what you can do to increase your chance of getting a job. I would say that I don't know your custody arrangement as well, but the basic idea that you need to be malleable in your ability to move to a job makes a difference, because the job market is not the same in all states, and it sort of depends on the industry that you are in. All you can do is sort of deal with the problems that you have, obviously, and make responsible decisions from here on out. And that means that, you know, with regard to your son, do you have a family structure that is capable of supplementing you? Right? Do you have a way that your kid is taken care of when you have to go to work? And what can you do to set up a community around you with social fabric capable of helping you when times get tough? Right? That is a deep necessity, to embed yourself in a community that is willing to help you when things get tough, because that social structure is going to provide not only a structure for you financially and in terms of, you know, the help that you need, but also in terms of spirituality for your family and a social support network that your son is going to need. Neil says, hey, Ben, can you discuss the Oslo Accords of 1993? They were a garbage idea, and they've been proved to be a garbage idea. The notion of re-importing Yasser Arafat from Tunis to the Palestinian areas, the areas that are heavily Palestinian, Israel, Judea, Samaria, the Gaza Strip, and then negotiating with the terrorists. It turns out that was a horrifyingly bad idea. And the reality is that Israel never should have engaged in the Oslo process. It was not only a complete waste of time, it was a counterproductive complete waste of time, considering a terrorist group now controls Gaza, and a terrorist group, namely Fatah, controls the Judea and Samaria region of Israel. So the reality is that until Israel should have allowed there to be an organic rise in some sort of leadership class it could negotiate with. Instead, Israel attempted to force the issue because they were sick of the Intifada. And so they brought in an actual master terrorist with actual blood on his hands and tried to negotiate with him. Complete fail. Who could have predicted such a thing except anybody with half a prefrontal cortex? Neil says, hey, Ben, do you believe gerrymandering is good? Should it be prohibited? Thanks and love the show. Here's the problem with getting rid of gerrymandering. There is no good alternative solution. There are people who say, well, what if we had some sort of bipartisan coalition to determine what a fair congressional district looks like? And the problem is, who's on the bipartisan coalition? Everybody is biased. There is no evidence that these bipartisan coalitions end up with a better result than gerrymandering. And because gerrymandering works both ways, as soon as Democrats get in power, they just gerrymander right back. We all understand how this works. And it might be ugly, and we don't like how the sausage is made, but the sausage does get made. And the notion that it is impossible to remake Congress thanks to gerrymandering is belied by the fact that Congress has shifted control in 2006, 2010, 2018. It's going to shift control again in 2022. It's a lot of shifts in control of Congress for some sort of evil system that allows for faking the vote or some such nonsense. Lucas says, dear Ben, I just finished up my freshman year of college as a poli-sci major and took a course on international relations. We learned about the different theories. I was wondering whether you would subscribe, which one you would subscribe to yourself. Are you a realist, a neoconservative, liberal, or a combination of those? Thank you for everything you do. You truly inspire me. So I am a realist in the sense that I don't believe that it is the United States' responsibility to spread democracy all over the globe without regard to cost, right? I'm not sort of a liberal internationalist who believes that democracy will inherently rise everywhere all over the globe, and all we have to do is drop some troops in there and make it happen. That obviously didn't happen in Afghanistan. It didn't happen in Iraq. I mean, there actually need to be organic growths of institutions in order for that to happen. By the same token, do I believe that the United States should, if it is a low-cost, low-risk scenario, promote democracy? Sure. So I think we should support democratic allies because we need their intel, because we need their military development. Absolutely. So to completely disconnect realism from underlying principle is to mistake what realism is. Realism is not just pure power politics. And realism is also about recognizing your ideological opponents. There's always an ideological component to realism. So I would describe myself as more of a realist. I think a lot of people are disabused of sort of quote unquote neoconservative ideas, meaning liberal internationalism in Woodrow Wilson style. In the 2000s. Wes says, hey, Ben, I have a lot of friends who are liberals or leftists. They keep talking about democratic socialism. To me, it sounds no different from regular socialism. What is democratic socialism? It hasn't really quite been fully explained to me. I want to keep an open mind. It sounds like some sort of Orwellian rhetoric. Okay, so your friends may be conflating social democracy with democratic socialism. So social democracy is basically Norway, Denmark, essentially a capitalist society with a heavy welfare state. The United States is essentially a social democracy. And that means that we have a good level of free market activity, but we curb free market activity by removing money at the top and then redistributing it. And this is most Western democracies at this point are social democracies. And, you know, in one way or another and in one direction or not, some more, some are less. And the notion that the United States is sort of this libertarian paradise is so weird. It's so bizarre. We have the most progressive tax rates literally in the Western world. As far as what democratic socialism is, that's just socialism. So if you're talking about the notion that, the state is going to own all the means of production, and that the state owning the means of production is going to be democratically governed. Yeah, no, that never happens, and it is socialism, and it ends up destroying the economy, because in the end, you're never going to allow people to vote on how the factory is run every single day. If you do that, how do you even do that? How is that even possible? In the end, an apparatchik of the state is going to have to run the thing. And it turns out that people don't actually like the notion that the guy next to them gets paid exactly the same for being a lazy bum. And so the way that you can, the way that you do this is that you have to force the work, right? You actually have to have a heavy boot on top of everybody in the, factory, as the Soviet Union learned over and over and over again. We've reached the end of this week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. We will be back with you on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. The Senate's likely to vote next week on a compromise infrastructure measure that could double as a test for President Biden in his work to have a bipartisan relationship with lawmakers. However, many are quick to point out there are some unanswered questions. That story from correspondent Bob Agnew.
A majority of Republicans have yet to sign on to the compromise bill, meaning Biden depends more than ever on moderate Republicans. In his own party, leftists are demanding trillions in broadly defined infrastructure spending on everything from the Green New Deal to an expansion of the welfare state. More moderate Democrats and those up for re-election next year shy away from the large price tag. Displeasing any faction right now could be enough to derail the president's blueprints for building a bipartisan legacy amid a deeply divided Congress. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at townhall.com, President Biden denouncing Cuba as a failed state that is, quote, repressing its citizens, and he calls communism a universally failed system. But military affairs analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis telling Salem Radio Network he has some problems with Biden's response to the turmoil in Cuba.
The Biden administration has been incredibly slow in responding to, until yesterday, what has been going on the streets of Cuba.
And McGinnis adding that Cuban authorities need to know Americans are on the side of the country's oppressed people. Prosecutor filing a total of 63 felony criminal charges against three employees over a July 2018 tourist boat accident on a Missouri lake that killed 17 people. Charges have been filed against the, quote, Ride the Ducks Branson workers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NobleLift lithium-ion-powered forklifts. With a NobleLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a five-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
The FAA ordering airlines to test crucial safety switches on their Boeing 737s more often.
The two switches trigger warnings to pilots about a dangerous loss of cabin pressure. They're called cabin altitude pressure switches. If they both fail at the same time, unsuspecting pilots could pass out from a lack of oxygen. The FAA says it and Boeing have learned that the failure rate of both switches is much higher than they thought, and it is a safety issue. The government says it's already gotten reports of newly installed switches failing. So far, the FAA doesn't know why. I'm Rita Foley.
Authorities in Russia say they have found a plane that was missing in Siberia. All 19 people on board are okay. Plane took off from western Siberia early Friday, but had two failed engines. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A China's cyber watchdog announcing an on-site security probe of the ride-hailing service Didi.
Investigators are stepping up scrutiny after earlier criticism of its handling of customer information caused the company's New York traded shares to tumble. The on-site inspection comes 2 weeks after the regulator said it would probe Didi over national security and data security concerns, days after it went public on the New York Stock Exchange. The company earlier was ordered to stop signing up new customers while it overhauled its collection and handling of information about its users.
As correspondent Jeremy House, Twitter doing away with its disappearing tweets called fleets. They didn't catch on. Company began testing tweets that vanish after 24 hours last March. Fleets were designed to alleviate concerns about new users who might be turned off by permanent nature of tweets. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Northern California Veterans Museum presents the Wall of Remembrance to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Global War on Terror. To memorialize the victims of terror, their names have been placed on a traveling exhibit. The exhibit will be free and open to the public all day and night from July 28th to August 1st. There will be an art gala and fundraiser featuring works from the veterans and military family members. There will also be a sunrise service and Vietnam Memorial commemoration on Sunday, August 1st. For more information, call 510-8210.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so we are living through an extremely tenuous time. It is very obvious that the country is coming apart at the seams. It was happening before Trump. It did not decelerate during Trump. And despite the best attempts of the media to claim that Joe Biden is a unifying figure and that the country was going to come back together, in fact, the administration has not been a unifying force. There are centrifugal forces right now that are tearing apart the country in very serious ways. And it seems like that is not going to decelerate anytime soon. And it's weird, because when you look at Joe Biden, sometimes he says the right things, frankly. Like yesterday, for example, he came out and he said, communism is a terrible system, it's failed everywhere it's tried. I don't think there's much of a difference from socialism. And you said to yourself, okay, well, this is the kind of reasonable Joe Biden that we were led to believe was going to be president of the United States in 2020. And then, within 24 hours, Joe Biden will also be saying that if you are in favor of voter ID, it's because you're a Jim Crow-style racist. Well, that sort of rhetoric is, in fact, what is going to tear the country apart, because there has been a movement brewing in America for a decade, at the very least, in which people, particularly the left, declare people of the right to be Nazis, and then they suggest it's okay to punch a Nazi. And on a broad institutional and governmental level, this has been the argument. People I don't like are white supremacists, people I don't like are Nazis, people I don't like are the worst of the worst of the worst, and therefore we are absolutely justified in using every means at our disposal to shut this thing down, to prevent people from disseminating information, to stop people from using individual rights, because individual rights, of course, can be a danger. In Germany, post-World War II, there was a particular tactic used by the government in order to quash the rise of Nazism in the post-World War II era. It was called Streitbare Demokratie. And the basic idea was that you could not provide freedom of speech to, say, Hitlerian groups, because if you did, then they would then use that freedom of speech against the very freedoms of Germans, and they would take over the state again and pose a threat to the world. And so you had to quash them. You had to strangle it in the crib, so to speak. Now, never mind that really had not worked very well during the Weimar Republic. Right? Hitler was jailed after the Beer Hall Putsch, and then Hitler emerged from jail, and he was more popular than he'd been before he was put in jail. And it turns out that very often, when you try to prevent bad rhetoric from gaining adherence, banning the rhetoric is a good way to make the rhetoric more appealing to more people, because then they feel that they are victims of some sort of transnational conspiracy. But beyond that, even if you believed that strikebear democracy has been a success, that banning, for example, the sale of Mein Kampf in Germany has been a net positive for Germany, you have to be very careful how you use those principles, because, of course, the question is really not whether Mein Kampf ought to be banned in Germany. It's who decides whether Mein Kampf ought to be banned in Germany. And when you take that to an American context, the question is who decides what ought to be banned. Now, the founders took a pretty robust view of political freedom in the United States. It wasn't unending. There were certain things that you could do, like try to overthrow the government of the United States, or you could speak in ways that were considered treasonous. And these things would not necessarily be covered by the First Amendment. And there's a lot of case law on this. There's a lot of writing by the founders on this sort of stuff. But the freedom of speech and the ability to dissent has historically been extremely broad in the United States, and for good reason. Because the truth is that if you're a progressive leftist, if you're somebody who's a progressive leftist, your best protection as a progressive leftist, historically speaking, has been the First Amendment. If the conservative powers that be had actually been able to prevent you from speaking freely over the course of the 20th century, then many of the left's champion causes never would have come to fruition, ranging from same-sex marriage to radical centralization of governmental power. So strikebear democracy is a power that has to be used sparingly, if at all. And in the United States, there really is very little precedent for strikebear democracy. When it has been used in the past, it's been used to pretty nefarious effects, ranging from the Alien Sedition Act of the John Adams administration to Woodrow Wilson using the Sedition Act in order to crack down on people who dissented from World War I. What we are seeing right now is a sort of institutional strikebear democracy where the government knows its own limits in the sense that the Supreme Court is not going to allow overt prevention by the government of speech. Instead, the government has realized that it can utilize the tools of institutional power that exist outside of the government in order to cram down its own agenda. It's essentially state-sponsored, state-initiated, and state-advocated strikebear democracy, right? A crackdown on particular points of view. But the problem is that the people who are making these decisions have a very broad view of what it is that ought to be suppressed. And so it becomes extremely dangerous when you see people who are in very high positions of power talking about their fellow Americans as though they are full-scale Nazis, talking about their fellow Americans as though they are on the verge of a Beer Hall Putsch, as though they are Hitler. And this struck me forcibly yesterday when I was reading this story from the Washington Post about General Mark Milley. So I'll be honest with you, I really didn't know much about Mark Milley until the past couple of months. And it seems to me that Mark Milley is a fool. I don't know what else to take away from his comments in front of Congress that he is assigning How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi to American troops, because American troops need to know why the systems of the United States are inherently and unfixably racist, and discrimination today is a remedy for discrimination yesterday. His statements about that were full-on asinine. And now there's an article that has come out based on the Carol Lennick and Philip Rucker book, I Alone Can Fix It, Donald J. Trump's Catastrophic Final Year, talking about Mark Milley's view of January 6th and everything that led up to January 6th and post-January 6th. And Mark Milley's perspective on this is so unbelievably historically ignorant and, yes, dangerous, because when you characterize your political opposition in the worst possible way without any true historical reference point, you are paving the way for exactly the sort of measures that normally have to be used for the world's worst people. Right? If the logic is the Nazis had to be fought on the beaches, and then you say, oh, yes, and my next-door neighbor is also a Nazi, the implication is that your next-door neighbor needs to be treated like a Nazi should be treated. So here's what Mark Milley had to say, and this is so historically ignorant. I mean, it honestly looks as though he once read a Doonesbury cartoon about World War II, and this is his only historical reference for what happened during World War II and in the lead-up to the Hitlerian takeover of Germany and the Enabling Act of 1933. According to the Washington Post, Milley described a stomach-churning feeling as he listened to President Trump's untrue complaints of election fraud, drawing a comparison to the 1933 attack on Germany's parliament building that Hitler used as a pretext to establish a Nazi dictatorship. This is a Reichstag moment, Milley told aides, according to the book, the gospel of the Führer. Okay, now, the United States is not the Weimar Republic circa 1932. It is not. Okay, there are a wide variety of dissimilarities, ranging from the fact that Germany had suffered a catastrophic loss in World War I, and then suffered an even more catastrophic peace under the Versailles Treaty, to the economic failures of the 1920s, to the failures of parliamentary government that ended essentially with the establishment of a proto-dictatorship, under figures other than Hitler in the early 1930s. Like there are a wide variety of factors that distinguished Weimar Republic Germany from America circa 2021. Like many, many, many factors. Okay, and the comparison of Donald Trump to Hitler is, of course, particularly ridiculous. And it's also particularly ridiculous that Milley was suggesting that the January 6th attack on the Capitol was, in some sense, a Reichstag moment. Okay, because if you know anything about the Reichstag fire, what you know about the Reichstag fire is that a deranged communist set fire to the Reichstag building, and then Hitler used that as a pretext to round up communists and to have the German parliament push through an enabling act that essentially put all power of the state in his hands. Right, so the idea was that there was a fire that was blown out of proportion by the ruling powers that be. Hitler was already chancellor at the time. And then that was used as the pretext to centralize even more power and basically get rid of the Reichstag entirely, like get rid of the entire German legislative body as an effectual part of government. Okay, well, what would the logic of that be with regard to January 6th? That a bunch of Trump supporters, morons and droogs, stormed the Capitol building so that Donald Trump could, according to General Milley, invoke the Insurrection Act against the people who were on his side, purportedly. And it doesn't make any sense. Internally, there's no logic to it. There's no consistency to it at all. Okay, so none of this makes any sense. But the Washington Post piece is basically all about how Milley thinks that not only was Trump Hitlerian, but that a huge number of his supporters were basically brown shirts. And he used this kind of language on a regular basis, apparently, which is scary considering that he is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Right, so if you look further on in the article, he said that Milley said he was determined to avoid a repeat of the siege on the Capitol a week after January 6th. He said, everyone in this room, whether you're a cop, whether you're a soldier, we're going to stop these guys to make sure we have a peaceful transfer of power. We're going to put a ring of steel around the city, and the Nazis aren't getting in. The Nazis aren't getting in? Really? The Nazis? Like, I'm just wondering, like, does he... It was like a couple of hundred idiots. Congress went about its business within 2 hours of the halls of Congress being cleared. He suggested that he feared an American equivalent of brown shirts in the streets after Trump was speaking about the election between November 4th and January 6th. Brown shirts in the streets. Now, the brown shirts were a paramilitary force approved of by the ruling administration and encouraged to go perform acts like Kristallnacht in 1938, right? So, like, there's no historical precedent for what he's talking about. But, again, it is the language that is being used about an entire side of the political aisle, because it's not even restricted to Trump's language is wrong. He is not telling the truth about the election. That is terrible for our democracy. It's not restricted to that. It's not restricted to the people who invaded the Capitol building on January 6th are not only idiots and droogs, but perform criminal acts and should go to jail. It's not that. It's anybody who went to a Trump rally, anybody who voted for Trump, right? The extension outward toward, because here's the thing. If Trump is Hitler and a Hitlerian figure, anyone who voted for Trump by extension voted for Hitler. And those people are then complicit in Hitlerian crimes. And you can see this taken to its sort of full fruition when it comes to the comments that a guy named Miles Taylor made yesterday. Now, you never heard of Miles Taylor until the last 5 seconds. Miles Taylor was the guy who wrote this anonymous column in the New York Times talking about how there were people inside the administration resisting Trump. And there's a lot of who could Anonymous be? Was Anonymous actually Mike Pence? Was Anonymous actually maybe Melania? Was Anonymous Barron? There's all this idiot talk about who was Anonymous? Who could Anonymous be a high rank? It turns out that Anonymous was basically Anonymous. He was this low-level official in the Trump administration who then came out, and first he lied on CNN about it. Right? He said, I'm not Anonymous. And then it turns out he was anonymous, and he wrote this column about how Trump was terrible and he needed to be stopped from within. Okay, well, yesterday, Miles Taylor appeared on MSNBC's with MSNBC's Jason Johnson, where he proceeded to explain that the biggest threat to the Republic is not ISIS, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's not Chinese authoritarianism and communism, it's not Russian aggression, it's conservatives and Republicans. Those are the greatest threat to the Republic. And you can see the move here. The move here is going to be your next-door neighbor is the problem. And as we'll see, this is going to justify the kind of crackdowns that Democrats have planned. If that happens, you can see why the country is on the verge of a split. Once your next-door neighbor is no longer just a person who disagrees with you politically, but your actual enemy, like a Hitlerian enemy, what exactly are you supposed to do other than taking the measures that would have been necessary to stop Hitler in his tracks. Here was Miles Taylor saying one of the more despicable things I've heard in modern American politics.
I'm a national security guy. I've worked in national security against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Russia. And the number one national security threat I've ever seen in my life to this country's democracy is the party that I'm in, the Republican Party. It is the number one national security threat to the United States of America. And I'll tell you this, if my party retakes the U.S. House of Representatives in the next cycle, it's going to become a haunted house. And the ghoul and the specter haunting that house is going to be Donald Trump.
They're the biggest national security threat to the United States he's ever seen in his life. Now, Miles Taylor seems like a fairly young guy, but I'm 37, and the Soviet Union was still around for the first few years of my life. China, right now, is making aggressive moves, not only with regard to Hong Kong, but with regard to Taiwan. On the tech front, they're making aggressive moves. But according to Miles Taylor, Republicans, your next-door neighbors, or maybe you, you are the true threats of the country. Writ large, you are the true threat. Now, what does this justify? If you say that everyone around you is a Nazi, this means it's time for some striped-bear democracy applied to you. And that's precisely what the Biden administration apparently is now going to push forward. They're not going to do it formally through the actual auspices of government. Instead, they're going to hijack, encourage, work hand in glove with private institutions in order to make sure that those private institutions do their dirty work. It makes it very difficult for those institutions to claim they are not state actors when, as we'll see, the White House is openly acknowledging that it is directing non-state actors to do things the state actor itself could not do. Alrighty, coming up, if the left decides that you are the bad guy, they can do whatever they need to do to stop you. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dynavite with every meal.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T-cell therapy. Ways that I advocate for cancer is probably mostly through my podcast and my Instagram or TikTok. It's so vitally important that we have Leukemia Lymphoma Society on our side.
To give or get help, visit LLS.org.
Furnished by LLS.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we have seen that there are members of the establishment, mainstream left, and some members of the government, actually, who have decided that you might be a Nazi. Well, if you're a Nazi, they can do whatever they need to do to stop you. And you can see how major institutions in Western society are being weaponized toward this. So let's take a quick and kind of amazing example. So yesterday, the ABA, which is an organization that is dedicated to selling books, the American Booksellers Association, right, which is an association of bookstores across the country, they put out a statement. The statement they put out was about Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage. Now, we've talked with Abigail Schreier on the show. I recommended her book. It is an excellent book. It is all about the damage done to young people by giving them hormone therapy and genital surgeries on the basis of supposed gender dysphoria without proper diagnosis and without any sort of longitudinal data. Right? The book is really well thought out. It is a very sensitive book. It is not a sort of hard charging, wreck everything book at all. Okay, Abigail's a very considered person. Okay, so the ABA put out this statement. Quote, an anti-trans book was included in our July mailing to members. It is not an anti-trans book. It is a book considering whether rapid onset gender dysphoria is a problem. By data, it very clearly is. Quote, this is a serious violent incident, violent, that goes against ABA's ends, policies, values, and everything we believe and support. It is inexcusable. We apologize to our trans members and to the trans community for this terrible incident and the pain we caused them. We also apologize to the LGBTQIA plus community at large and to our bookselling community. Apologies are not enough. We've begun addressing this today and are committed to engaging in the critical dialogue needed to inform concrete steps to address the harm we caused. Those steps will be shared in the next 3 weeks. Okay, so you have an actual booksellers association apologizing for the violent act of distributing a book. And this is the mentality that has taken over with regard to major institutions throughout American society. You must apologize if you cross the left. You've committed an act of violence by simply allowing for the distribution of a book. They weren't pushing the book. They weren't saying that the book is the only book on trans issues. There are many books pushed by the American Booksellers Association that are fully in tune with the far left cultural zeitgeist that suggests that boys can be girls and girls can be boys and that you should propagandize that to kids, right? I Am Jazz is the kind of stuff that the ABA also sells and promotes and loves. Okay, but if there is one book they don't like, it can be banned. Same thing with Ryan Anderson's book, When Harry Became Sally, which was banned from Amazon. You literally cannot buy it on Amazon because it is quote-unquote anti-trans. Okay, this sort of institutional takeover is extremely dangerous. And when it becomes clear that it is not just coming from wokes inside particular corporations, encouraged by the media. I've talked a lot on this program about how corporations have basically been hijacked by their woke staffers. The bosses are too chicken bleep to actually stand up to their staffers and say, no, we're not going to do any of that. So the media have militarized this. The far-left media have decided what they will do is they will find a couple of employees, disgruntled employees inside a company, and they will get those employees to talk about how offended they are by something that the company is doing, and then the company responds by doing what the disgruntled employees want. So you have a couple of Amazon employees who will complain about Abigail Schreier. NBC News will do a story, like a full story, about two Amazon employees quitting. We talked about this yesterday. Two Amazon employees out of 800,000 American Amazon employees quitting. And then they will put pressure on Amazon to get rid of Abigail Schreier's book. So that is one problem. A far larger problem in terms of formal problems and problems that should scare the living hell out of you are governments actively attempting to use the chief means of distribution of information in our society, the social media companies, in order to set boundaries on what information you can consume. Now remember, the original good of social media companies was that it was a marketplace of ideas. It was a town square of ideas. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act was explicitly directed at providing a greater forum for these sorts of, for us, to actually grow. You wanted Facebook to exist so that people could exchange ideas. In the early days of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg talked very clearly about this. By the way, so did Jack Dorsey, right? The idea over at Twitter, the idea was that these were going to be places for exchange of ideas, where there would be discussions, where you could access all sorts of information you never would have gotten if you just subscribed to the New York Times, for example. And people took that seriously, and they started consuming their news via social media. So instead of just going directly to the New York Times or to the Daily Wire, they started going to their news feed on Facebook. And then media members started attempting to push and ram Facebook in order to circumscribe what kind of material you could access through your newsfeed. Right, so you get Kevin Roos from the New York Times saying, too many people are visiting Ben Shapiro's Facebook page. You need to curtail that. You need to make sure that the traffic to Daily Wire goes down, for example. The only sources that should be trusted are the New York Times. And now, You have the federal government of the United States that is pushing this as well. And again, the ideology here is that there are people who know better than you. And those people not only have better moral standards than you, they know what constitutes, on a quote-unquote objective level, disinformation. So this mentality was pushed forward yesterday by the former Prime Minister of Denmark and a member of Facebook's oversight board. She kind of expressed the general overlying theory here. She said, here's the thing. All these platforms, yes, they're for freedom of speech, but this must be balanced with other concerns. Here's what she had to say.
What we're trying to find, of course, I think many of us who are engaging in this conversation, is that middle road. How do you moderate content? And how do you find that balance between human rights and free speech, which is a human right, but also other human rights? Because obviously free speech is not an absolute human right. It has to be balanced with other human rights. And that is what the oversight is there to do.
Okay, so again, Facebook has now integrated itself with this idea. That's Helle Thorning-Schmidt, who is, again, a former prime minister of Denmark, and is promoting the idea that Facebook needs to balance freedom of speech with other concerns. Well, really, they shouldn't. Right? The reality is it's not really Facebook's job. Alrighty, coming up, there is a very dangerous association afoot between the White House and big tech to shut down information. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to play our Sunny Money Staycation Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly drawings Thursdays at 6, 7, and 8 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings. July 29th, $10,000 cash. August 26th, 2 houseboat vacations from Bridge Bay at Shasta Lake. September 30th, another $10,000 up for grabs at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, more fun. WindRiver.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your life. With an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Cinerama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
Support a classroom.
Build a teacher.
Welcome back. It's the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as we've been saying, if the idea is that one side of the political aisle is bad, 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 then the White House is justified in militarizing the weapons of the institutions against you. If, once again, you can label all of your political opponents extremist, unworthy of public debate, then you can militarize private institutions to stop them. And this is exactly what the White House basically announced they were doing yesterday. This is an unbelievable thing. It really is, and it should scare the hell out of everyone right, left, and center. Because if the Trump administration had said, we've called up Facebook, and we've told them, we think that they are distributing misinformation, and we need them to take down that misinformation right now for the good of the republic. And also, if they don't, you know, we do have oversight power with regard to Facebook. And now, Democrats have been making these sorts of signals for a while. You'll recall that Dianne Feinstein called, the senator from California, called Mark Zuckerberg before a Senate committee, and she said, if you don't stop this sort of stuff, we will. Which is a direct and open threat that we are only going to give you a level of immunity as long as you do what we want. Which does make them a quasi-state actor in the sense that they are now operating at the behest of a government. And government cannot use state actors or quasi-state actors, private institutions, that are operating under the explicit direction of the government in order to violate your rights. And the government does not have the power of, for example, unreasonable search and seizure. So if the government hires a private contractor and says, I want you to break into that guy's house and look in his house, they are now a government contractor. Or if they say, you know what, unless you break into that guy's house and ransack his safe, we are probably going to prosecute you. The government would be the actor in that particular scenario. The government is verging very closely on that when they say things like, we are directly telling Facebook what kind of content we want to come down. That is extremely, extremely dangerous, whether I agree with the kind of content that they're attempting to take down or not. And as we'll see, the reality is that whatever the left declares misinformation very often is not misinformation. So yesterday, the Surgeon General of the United States blamed Big Tech for COVID misinformation. And said, oh, well, you know, if Big Tech had just cracked down on COVID misinformation, there'd be less vaccine hesitancy. Okay, let's be clear about something. People who are vaccine hesitant are vaccine hesitant for a wide variety of reasons. One of those reasons is the public health debacle that has been the messaging from the Biden administration. The Trump administration was no great shakes when it came to public health information. There were a lot of conflicting messages from the Fauci, no one should wear a mask, to the Fauci, everyone should wear a mask. But the Biden administration has not only been no better, in many ways they've been worse. Since the advent of the Biden administration, Anthony Fauci has said that if you get a vaccine, you still can't take off your mask. He's still suggesting right now that three-year-olds ought to be wearing masks around in public, which is patently crazy. Okay, so all of this creates vaccine hesitancy. And then when you have the Biden administration pause J&J, the J&J vaccine, after six cases of some sort of rare blood clotting disorder, after 7 million doses, a lot of people go, wait, hold up a second. You know, the risk to me on COVID, it ain't that great. It looks like there might be a risk to me from the vaccine, so maybe I'll wait. Now, I'm a huge advocate of the vaccines. I think they're miraculous in nearly every way. I see no reason why I should inject my 7, 5, or 1-year-old with the vaccine at this point. Like, they are not subject to serious risk from COVID. And it's up to the adults to get vaccinated. Kids have never been at serious risk from COVID, statistically speaking. Kids are more likely to be killed by a lightning strike in the United States than they are to die of COVID. Something like 311 people under the age of 18 total in the United States have died during the entire COVID pandemic, compared with well over 600,000 Americans of other age groups who have died, most of them in the older age range. Okay, but putting that aside, here is the point. Much of what has been distributed about COVID that has been misinformation has been coming directly from your government. Again, Anthony Fauci was saying overtly false things repeatedly on a wide variety of topics, ranging from schools should stay closed to don't wear a mask to you need to wear a mask even after you're vaccinated, right? Like that sort of stuff is going out routine. So should the administration of the United States be the body that determines what Facebook should leave up and what Facebook should take down? Here's the Surgeon General of the United States blaming big tech for not taking down what the White House wanted them to take down.
Modern technology companies have enabled misinformation to poison our information environment with little accountability to their users. They've allowed people who intentionally spread misinformation, what we call disinformation, to have extraordinary reach. They've designed product features, such as like buttons, that reward us for sharing emotionally charged content, not accurate content. And their algorithms tend to give us more of what we click on, pulling us deeper and deeper into a well of misinformation.
Hey, first of all, the idea that confirmation bias only exists because of Facebook is nuts. Confirmation bias exists when a liberal New Yorker subscribes to the New York Times. That's confirmation bias. When Biden fans watch CNN or MSNBC, that is confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is an inevitable fact of life. Okay, and people tend to seek out news that they agree with from sources that they already agree with. Okay, that's a negative. It's why on my show I've recommended many times they listen to this show, and then you listen to shows that disagree with me, and you see who you like better and who you think is telling you the truth more. I've noticed that many shows that disagree with me do not provide the same sort of notification of their own bias. But having the Surgeon General of the United States blame Facebook for COVID misinformation and for vaccine hesitancy is crazy. It's the exact same tactic that the Democratic Party took in the aftermath of 2016 when they suggested the real reason Hillary Clinton lost was because of Facebook. It was not because Hillary Clinton was a crappy candidate. It's because of misinformation and disinformation on Facebook. The reason they said this is because they want to bring Facebook under their control. They wish to bring big tech under their control. They wish to use these as instruments of the Democratic Party. And if they can do so informally, then they can effectively end around the First Amendment of the United States by weaponizing institutions as governmental agents. That's what they are attempting to do here. Jen Psaki made this absolutely clear yesterday. I mean, this is wild authoritarian garbage. Here's Jen Psaki saying, you know what we've been doing? We've been actually notifying Facebook what we think is disinformation and telling them to take it down. That is, you really want the White House doing that? You want the White House going to, like, if the White House came to the New York Times and said, we need you to take down that story, it's disinformation. Do you think the New York Times would do it? Obviously not. If the Biden White House came to us here at Daily Wire and they said, you know that story that you have up? We think it's disinformation. Take it down. We might evaluate whether it is, in fact, disinformation, but we would then use our own independent judgment in taking it down. We wouldn't take the White House's word for it. The White House is attempting, and the White House doesn't have power over us. The White House has a lot more power over, for example, Facebook than it does over our news website. But here's Jen Psaki pretty much openly admitting that the power of the White House is now being used to leverage private companies into subverting free dissemination of information.
We've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content.
I mean, this is insane. They're basically saying we want to run these social media platforms from the White House. From the White House. And if you don't let us, well then, I mean, I'm not sure we can hold back the antitrust regulators, guys. I'm not sure we can. And Barack Obama did some of the same stuff with regard to corporate America in the immediate aftermath of the economic crash of 2007-2008. And he famously said to a bunch of banking CEOs, I'm the only thing that stands between the mob and you. And they're out there holding pitchforks. So you need to do what I want. You know, using the power of the government to force private industries to do what you want them to do makes them quasi-state actors and removes the defense that these are private actors who can do what they want, because they obviously can no longer do what they want. It makes that defense very, very tenuous. And the HHS released a full statement yesterday on what technology platforms can do. strengthen the monitoring of misinformation. Quote, platforms should increase staffing of multilingual content moderation teams and improve the effectiveness of machine learning algorithms in languages other than English, since non-English language misinformation continues to proliferate. Platforms should also address misinformation in live streams, which are more difficult to moderate due to their temporary nature and the use of audio and video. Prioritize early detection of misinformation super spreaders and repeat offenders, and impose clear consequences for accounts that repeatedly violate platform policies. And who determines? Who determines what is misinformation? The White House? This White House? Trump's White House? Like, whose White House? Who determines what's misinformation? The fact-checking apparatus that is solely run at this point by members of the left? Factcheck.org, which is always willing to grant a half-true rating to anything a Democrat says, but a for Pinocchio, wholly untrue statement to openly true things that people on the right say? And in the area of information, there has to be open discourse. Otherwise, the truth doesn't come out. If it had been up to the Biden White House, let's say Biden had been president last year, okay, and the Biden White House would have been pushing very hard, presumably, for Facebook to take down, quote-unquote, misinformation about the COVID lab leak theory. Okay, that in fact, they didn't even need to. Many of these technology platforms were banning people and censoring people for doing just that, for speculating that the COVID virus started in a lab leak. Well, now it turns out, according to the Washington Post, that the WHO said it will fix several unintended errors in a joint report with China on the origins of the COVID crisis and will look into other possible discrepancies. In response to questions from the Washington Post, the WHO is changing the virus sequence IDs associated with 3 of the 13 early patients listed in the chart in the report and will clarify the first family cluster was not linked to the Huanan seafood market in Wuhan, a spokesman said. So the entire narrative that this thing started at a wet market in Wuhan was nonsense from the beginning. The WHO covered it up, and now the WHO is uncovering it up. But if the informational dissemination had been completely cut down last year, you'd never find out about this, of course. The danger of people controlling these streams of information is extraordinary. Remember, for years we were treated to the idea that the Steele dossier might in fact be fact. And now it turns out, of course, that the Steele dossier was sheer patent nonsense that was come up with by a kind of discredited spy on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign laundered through Fusion GPS. But for years, that was reported on these platforms as true. So you're going to trust these platforms to determine what's true and what's not true? And more importantly, you're going to trust government actors to tell these platforms what is true and what is not true? There's an entire article in New York Magazine today by T.A. Frank titled, quote, "The Steele dossier was a case study in how reporters get manipulated." To pick the worst press failure of the past half decade would be a daunting assignment, but the coverage of the Steele dossier would have to be high on any list. The document, penned by former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele, was commissioned in 2016 by the private research firm Fusion GPS, in turn working for the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. The aim was to dig up dirt on Donald Trump, especially regarding any ties he might have had to Russia. Steele delivered, alleging a long-standing conspiracy between Trump and the Kremlin and offering details that proved to be as unfounded as they were spectacular. Although they were almost certainly specious, these claims spawned countless news stories, including at New York Magazine, and prompted government investigations into possible ties between Moscow and Trump. The Steele dossier is just one recent instance of the media presenting the public with information that originated in a vast and opaque industry of private spies and operatives for hire who do business without all the rules and ethics of traditional media outlets, but who often inject their version of events into the mainstream press by feeding tips and scoops to reporters. Okay, and this is what happened with the Steele dossier. For example, now we are finding out, by the way, that when the tech platforms shut down all of the talk about Hunter Biden, we're now finding out, according to Politico, that last summer, in the middle of the summer, federal officials in Delaware already had enough information to seek search warrants and issue grand jury subpoenas in the Hunter Biden criminal investigation. Last summer. If the New York Post mentioned that a month before the election, they were kicked off the tech platforms. Okay, this is extremely dangerous stuff. And again, It is ends justify the means kind of thinking. Donald Trump had to go. This justified not only overt misinformation like the Steele dossier and the Russian ramp up and all of that. It justified bans on the New York Post a month before the election cycle, and it justifies the White House now telling these tech platforms what they can leave on and what they have to take off. If you don't think that that is authoritarianism, I don't know what to tell you. That is authoritarianism. It is authoritarian. It is state run in the same way that the Chinese government props up full corporations and then steps in and delists them from the New York Stock Exchange when it sees fit to do so. If private companies in the United States are subjected to the regulatory oversight of the people who are telling them what to do with their actual content moderation, now this is a state-sponsored enterprise. And now you have to start wondering, who is actually running the show? Is this free and fair competition? Is this free and open dissemination information? Or is this a backdoor violation of the First Amendment in the name of striped bear democracy and stopping the Nazis who live next door? We'll get to more of this in just 1 second, because it all comes with a friendly face, of course. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second first. ISPs, internet service providers, they're not just making money off subscription fees. They also make money from spying on your internet activity and then selling your history and data to the big tech companies. So what exactly is the best way to make sure 100% of your data is encrypted and that your internet provider can't get a hold of it? You guessed it, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet, so everything you do online is encrypted. It reroutes your connection through a secure server. This blocks your internet provider from seeing everything you do online. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, tablets, smart TVs, even your router, so your entire family can always stay protected. ExpressVPN is so simple to use. You just open up the app, you tap one button to connect, and that is it. Your data is your business. Protect it at expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben right now to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, expressvpn.com/Ben, to learn more and get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, if the Democrats decide that you're the worst people in the world, Republicans, they don't have to work with you. They can do whatever they want. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dynavite. She's little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have decided bipartisanship is out the window. No negotiations. No more talk. Now is the time for action. So yesterday, the Democrats, in a rather little notice change, they just got rid of the Hyde Amendment. So the Hyde Amendment is a long-standing bipartisan agreement between Democrats and Republicans that there will be no direct federal funding of abortions. That if there's money that goes from the federal government to, for example, Planned Parenthood, it has to go into their non-abortion activities. Now, it's a bit of a legal fiction in the sense that all money is fungible. So if you fund Planned Parenthood's rents, they take the money they were going to use for their rents and then use that for abortions. But at the very least, the federal government was not going to be directly involved in the funding of abortion. And this was agreed to for literally decades, going all the way back to Henry Hyde proposing it decades ago. You know, he's a big supporter of this, Joe Biden. Well, yesterday, House Democrats on Monday took steps to advance a new spending bill for the DHS without the Hyde Amendment. In moving the spending bill to the full House Appropriations Committee for a debate and vote, Democrats followed through on President Joe Biden's proposed budget, which also did not include the amendment. House Democrats had indicated they would go this route, and in doing so, have effectively guaranteed that abortion access will be a central focus of government funding negotiations between Democrats and Republicans, who do have the votes to block the Democrats' measure from passing the Senate without changes. The full House panel is expected to approve the bill and send the measure to the chamber for a vote. It's not yet clear if the measure can clear the narrowly divided chamber without the Hyde Amendment, given Democrats' slim majority. You'll remember that in 2018, Joe Biden was in favor of the Hyde Amendment, and then he reversed his stance because, of course, he was running to the left in order to try to fend off Bernie Sanders. The idea was that the federal government, abortion was so threatened by the states, the federal government had to step in, and they had to fund abortion. And now they're going to ram through your taxpayer dollars funding other people's abortions at the federal level on a sheer party line vote. Because the people who are standing in the way of that are so bad, you definitely cannot work with them. So they're getting rid of the Hyde Amendment totally. Right? You see, the House Appropriations Committee Chair Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut saying, quote, "Allowing the Hyde Amendment to remain on the books is a disservice to our constituents." Alexis McGill Johnson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, said in a statement her organization was thrilled. Quote, "For far too long, the racist and sexist Hyde Amendment has put the government in control of a personal health decision for many people with low incomes." Has it, though? Because all it says is that I'm not paying for your abortion. It doesn't ban abortion in any way. It says I will not pay for your abortion, nor should the taxpayer. But the broader point here is pretty simple. Democrats have basically decided they no longer wish to work with people on the other side of the aisle, and their excuse for not attempting to negotiate, for not attempting to be bipartisan, is those people are just so bad we can't even talk to them. Right? This is why Jen Psaki is now saying that, you know, Joe Biden has changed his mind. He would love to have amnesty in this gigantic $3.5 trillion budget bill. He would love that. Sounds great to him. Now, you may be saying to yourself, wait a second, it's a budget bill. What is that? Like, shouldn't there be a separate immigration bill that's negotiated? Especially because in the past, there have been these sort of gang of eight scenarios, gang of 12 scenarios, where Republicans and Democrats have put together a framework for what to do, for example, about the so-called Dreamers, people who were brought to the United States as children, and their parents were illegal immigrants. And they were children, so they were not born in the United States. What to do about those folks? There has been some attempt at bipartisanship on this in the past. Now, Democrats are like, those Republicans are just so terrible, we won't negotiate with them, we're just going to ram this thing through. Here's Jen Psaki saying, yeah, you know, after all, old Joe here, he would love amnesty in the budget bill.
Say that they want to put a citizenship pathway into the reconciliation package. Mm-hmm. Is the White House supportive of that strategy?
Yep. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, not only that, Chuck Schumer has now signaled that he is going to force a vote on the quote-unquote bipartisan infrastructure plan negotiated by Mitt Romney on the one side and people like Kristen Sinema on the other. This is a $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan. Schumer's plan here is force the Republicans to vote on the bipartisan plan before they get to this $3.5 trillion plan they plan to shove down at the same time, which they're going to do on a sheer party line vote. Now, Mitt Romney needs to say, I will not vote for this unless I have assurances from Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema that they do not vote for the boondoggle plan. Basically, this whole silly game was created by the Democrats in order to think of a water balloon. If you squeeze one end of the water balloon, all of the water just goes to the other side of the water balloon. This is basically what they've done with their two-part strategy. Their two-part legislative strategy, right? What they said is, here's the bipartisan bill. Bipartisan bill was $2 trillion. And here was the sheer party line vote bill. And let's say that bill was going to be $3 trillion. Well, if we squeezed out like $1 trillion here in the bipartisan bill, it'll just inflate the partisan bill over here. And it'll get larger. And so in the end, the combined bills will be the exact same amount of spending. It's just that Joe Biden will have been able to say that he did it with the veneer of bipartisanship. This needs to stop now. Romney needs to make clear that it's going to stop now unless Manchin and Sinema kill the $3.5 trillion boondoggle that Biden is pushing forward. Well, what does this result in? What this results in is more and more Americans feeling like, you know what? I don't have a ton of commonality with people in the rest of the country. If the federal government sees me as the enemy, if the institutions weaponized by the federal government or in coordination with the federal government, in coordination with the media, if those institutions are weaponized against me, if I'm the guy that is going to be called by the Joint Chiefs of Staff a Nazi because I voted for Trump, if that's who I am, well, then I don't wish to share a country with you. There's a new poll out showing support for essentially regional unions. And it's a pretty fascinating poll. This poll is courtesy of YouGov. Okay, and what the poll shows is that 66% of Republicans in the Southeast, ranging from Texas to Florida, say that they would be interested in seceding from the United States to join a new regional union. Now, this is sort of paralleled by the Northwest. In the Northwest, 47%, like basically the West Coast, 47% of Democrats say that they would like to secede from the United States to join a new regional union. In other words, where people are living in more red states or more blue states, they feel more alienated. But particularly people in red states right now feel like they are under assault, which is why they're seeking more state-level action, more strong governors in order to stand up against federal predation. This is just going to continue. It's just going to continue. And all the unity that Joe Biden promised, it doesn't exist so long as Joe Biden refuses to say to his own base that your neighbors are not the enemy. And he refuses to, if he doesn't refuse to characterize his neighbors as the enemy, this is going to get much worse, much, much more quickly. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Unbelievable flooding in Germany and Belgium. Search and rescue efforts continue, the death count reaching at least 125, but authorities say more than 1,000 people are still missing. Senate Republicans vowing to block President Biden's pick to run the Bureau of Land Management after it was learned many years ago she took part in an eco-terrorist attack. Bob Agnew explains.
In 1989, Tracy Stone Manning penned a letter threatening a logging company. She wrote that a certain tract of forest land about to be harvested had been, in her words, heavily spiked. That refers to inserting metal spikes or rods into trees, something that can cause serious injury to loggers. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is demanding President Biden withdraw Stone Manning's nomination to head up the BLM. In a letter, the administration says Stone Manning has what it calls a proven track record of finding solutions and common ground. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at townhall.com, after 4 days of heavy looting and violence, armed South African police protecting deliveries of food and supplies to markets. The BBC, Shingai Nyoka.
It was a moment of reflection for South Africa's president as he toured the areas worst affected by the violence. He conceded that law enforcement could have done better initially. Business owners say raiders returned repeatedly to empty out warehouses and malls. Hundreds of shopping centers in two major provinces have been affected, with some infrastructure, including clinics and schools, vandalized and torched. It's the worst violence under Mr. Ramaphosa's presidency, and he believes it's politically motivated.
CDC says the COVID making a somewhat of a comeback across the United States. Authorities say the Delta variant spreading around the nation now makes the cases up 70% over last week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A-plus BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
With New York Governor Andrew Cuomo set to be questioned Saturday, investigators appear close to finishing a probe into the sexual harassment and misconduct allegations. Correspondent Marina Villanueva reports expect now to be interviewed by authorities looking into the matter.
It's possible this might be a sign that the investigation is nearing a conclusion and that we know that investigators have been able to interview women who have come forward with allegations against the governor and have done a lot of other extensive investigation already.
A Colorado man convicted of murder and the disappearance of his 13-year-old son, a jury convicting 59-year-old Mark Redwine on the death of his son Dylan. The boy was reported missing in November of 2012 while he was on a court-ordered Thanksgiving visit to his father's home in Colorado. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. American Airlines telling some flight attendants, come on back to work. John Scott reports.
The airline is canceling extended leaves for about 3,300 flight attendants, and it wants them flying by November or December. Plus, the airline expects to hire 800 new flight attendants by next March. It's the latest indication that leisure travel in the U.S. is booming. American and other airlines encouraged thousands of workers to quit last year when travel was crushed by the pandemic. But the number of people flying in the U.S. has nearly tripled since early February, leaving the airlines scrambling for staff. John Scott reporting.
On Wall Street Friday, stocks were lower, down industrials, losing nearly 300 points for the day. On the tech side, the NASDAQ dropped 116, S&P 500 off 32, but New York oil was up 16 cents, closing at 71.81. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Yay, capitalism, man. That's pretty much the Democrat Party this week. Well, that's giving them too much credit, actually. No, they're showing their hand, as it were. They're revealing themselves. AOC is now an out-of-the-closet Castro communist, an anti-capitalist, anti-American pro-goon squad, thug squad. Anti-American, anti-capitalist. But she's perky as all get out, isn't she? You know. That's what matters. Q factor. How many people would like to, how shall I say, date her is more important than truly extraordinary stuff. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. I can't believe the all the stuff we have today. Today is, I think, going to be more fun than your average day, than your average Friday, because yesterday, Joe Biden came out, and he really disappointed the party when he said that communism has failed. It's a failed ideology, and that socialism isn't much better. And it was kind of an interesting moment. I was watching it live, And he was there with Angela Merkel, who has the title Chancellor of Germany, which you think they'd do away with. All the words that are being canceled here and around the world, you'd think German Chancellor would be high on the list. But maybe Prime Minister or something, maybe just mix it up a little bit from the Hitler days might be a good idea. But that's me. And they can go ahead and stick with it if they'd like. She's an old East German herself. She looks kind of East German. Delete kind of. She looks very East German. She looks like she could be, you know, Madame Khrushchev. But that's a separate thing. Never mind. She's East German Chancellor. Und I, you know, my father took some time out of his 20s to go over there in a one-seat plane and go kill a bunch of them. But that's we'll save that for another time. And Joe Biden yesterday, he seemed, and the party had to be conflicted. I was watching, and the question was asked, I think, by Stephen Portnoy, am I right about this, of CBS Radio, who used to be a reporter at my mothership station, WMAL, in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Capital of the free world. Remember when we were capital of the free world? Then the Democrats came along, and now it's kind of hard to say. That's the results are not in. The coin has been tossed, but it has not landed yet. We're waiting to find out. And he didn't endorse communism yesterday, and I know that a great many Democrats in Washington and around the country were crestfallen when he didn't endorse Castro's communist Cuba. Lord, a lot of alliteration. The Democrat Party had to be taken aback, I think, by his statements. And then AOC made herself a little video. Was she spinning on a rooftop to a music thing? No, it was not. It wasn't that. It was a different one. And she came out and she condemned the United States and blamed the United States. As honestly as Jen Psaki did earlier in the week, Jen Psaki came out earlier in the week, asked about Cuba by Peter Doocy because he's the only reporter at the White House, the only one covering the news at the White House. And Jen Psaki said it was mismanagement. Maybe that was the problem in Cuba. A little bit of mismanagement. No nuance required here. No, that is communism properly managed. Yeah, rifle butt to the forehead, political prisoners, squalor, poverty, live on $16 a month. That's not mismanagement. That's proper management of communism. It leads to the same results every time. Just in case you're completely unaware of everything, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help. The 20th century is one of my areas. I'm pretty good on the 21st century, too. But extraordinary stuff. So I want to get into that. The Black Lives Matter. They're dumb as stumps. Dumb as rocks. Anti-capitalist, anti-American. They're Marxist. They're communist. They're pro-authoritarian, totalitarian. Castro, communism, Black Lives Matter. And they put out a statement yesterday proving that they don't understand. I mean, it's like they don't know what day of the week is. Also, I don't know if you actually pulled this or put it in the cut sheet, Michael, but there was a funny, we were trading stuff back and forth yesterday, as you might imagine. Have I mentioned that we're at 888-630-9625? Because we are. Rob O'Neill, the now former Navy SEAL that thankfully, and we're all very grateful, put a bullet in Osama bin Laden's face, maybe several of them actually, and killed him dead, killed him real good. They're in Abbottabad, Kazakhstan. He was on actually day before yesterday, not yesterday, but we were laughing about it yesterday and we pulled the audio because Rob O'Neill told a story, about being in Afghanistan and talking to an Afghan individual who was, like his faithful sidekick and his, interpreter, translator, and cook, his chef, made food for him and translated for him. And, he told a very funny story about kind of the difference between culture, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, in Afghanistan, you know, one of the main stands over there, and the United States of America. And a funny story, I hope to get to that story, the Rob O'Neill story, because it's a funny story. But the White House and Jen Psaki said maybe a little mismanagement down in Cuba has led to these issues in the streets. And then yesterday, apparently they took a poll, had a focus group, said maybe you guys should, you know, not be so pro-communist because it sounds like you're communists. And that might not be good in the midterm elections if you're communists, you see. And if you're pro-communists, Castro, Cuba, while they're grabbing people off the street and shutting down the internet. Maybe that's not going to work for us politically next year because there are elections and we could lose Congress. Nancy Pelosi might have to be mummified and retire. Has she already been mummified? It's difficult to say. So they had to flip-flop a little on whether they love communism, whether it's just a matter of some mismanagement, maybe bring in a consultant and they could fix the issues in Cuba. So we got that stuff going for us, and that's great stuff. And also, I got to say, we have many, many amazing stories today, including a book, a wonderful book that is out having to do with transgenderism. And the people at Amazon, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world who owns the Washington Post, people at Amazon, apparently two people resigned at Amazon because Amazon sells this book on transgenderism. And the book was written by a very nice lady, a smart lady. Not only is she smart, but in spite of the fact that she went to Columbia University, Oxford, and Yale Law School, Joyce Beatty, and she, no, excuse me, it's not Joyce Beatty, it's Abigail Schreier, and she wrote the book on transgenderism, and it's being protested by people at Amazon who want it canceled because they're the left and they're book burners now. I've been saying for years they're word burners and phrase burners, term burners. Now they're really dialing it up. And it's a fascinating story that I'm going to share with you today. A remarkable woman, very, I would say, bright and articulate woman, the author of this book, Abigail Schreier. She was on the television this morning explaining what's going on. And also, what is it, the National Booksellers Association? They're groveling and sniveling and apologizing to the hard left, the radical left, who are book burners. They're fascists, they're communists. And by the way, there's very little daylight between fascists and communists. You know, the fascists of Adolf Hitler were the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Then you have the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and it's a very little daylight. This gang murders X million people, and that group murders Y million people. And the difference, they enslaved the rest. Not a lot of difference between them. But that's a great story. And she is just great. I thought she was great this morning. So the Democrats wrestling with whether they're actually communists or not. Joe Biden disappointing a lot of Democrats with that. The gender confusion thing that the Democrats major in, extraordinary. And then the White House, this is the biggest story of the century, perhaps. It's only 2021, they're going to be some bigger ones for sure. But the White House is now aligning, you know, fascist economics, basically the party, capital T, capital P, the National Socialist German Workers Party, or today's Democrat Party, with the Democratic Socialists of America, they call themselves, the DSA, and that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Squad and Bernie Sanders. They're commies, and they're just completely out of the closet now. I can comfortably say, as of today, that they're out of the closet commies because of Cuba and their statements and positions. And Black Lives Matter, out of the closet Marxist communists with the statements they put out. And dumb as stumps, just dumb as rocks, these people that put out this Black Lives Matter statement. Amazing. And they don't also, by the way, believe that Black Lives Matter. But never mind that. Minor detail in the scheme of things. But now the Biden administration and the Democrat Party is forming a coalition, just like the fascists of yesteryear, you know, the National Socialist German Workers Party. They created coalitions with the major industries of the day that they needed to go to war, right? The steel industry and the Krupp family and to make tanks and planes and bombs and things. But we live in the information age, or the disinformation age and the misinformation age. And the Democrat Party has created a coalition, and I've been talking about this for a long time now, but they really came out of the closet. There are lots of coming out of the closet yesterday. They really came out of the closet yesterday, announcing from the podium at the White House, Colonel Klebb, their Jen Psaki with the gasoline here, she announced that Facebook and their other allies in social media are going to start censoring speech with which the party disagrees. Now, that's much more menacing and sinister than aligning yourself with any other industry. And the information industry is, they're corrupt. They're the titans, and it's time that they're broken up. These monopolies are broken up by Congress. But the Democrats will never do that. They control the House and the Senate right now. But their majority must be destroyed next year in the midterm elections. And Joe Biden must become a lame duck, and Kamala Harris will just be lame. That's how that'll be. I don't know what kind of waterfowl she may be, but she's pre-lamed. So it doesn't matter what happens with her in next year's elections. But it's extraordinary. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. Oh, okay. Like Russian collusion. I can't wait to get into this. Like Republicans are the ones defunding the police. President Trump's a Russian agent. The list is long but not distinguished of the false news stories that the Democrat Party and the media, but I repeat myself, have been putting out for years. And now a coalition has been formed between big tech and people keep saying, and the government. And it's true that because they're in power right now and have the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, that it is the government. But really, the coalition is not between big tech and Jack Dorsey at Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook and Dr. Evil at the Washington Post and Amazon and so on. It's between the Democratic Party. It's between the left and big tech. And this kind of a coalition, and the announcements made yesterday, they are just out here saying it out loud before God and everyone, or as they say, dog and everyone. Dog is their co-pilot. And I've never seen this in the United States of America. I think this is worse than anything I've seen from the Democrats, and certainly from the Biden crats, and they're proud of it, I think. They're pleased to announce that their censorship has now gone mainstream in the United States of America. And it also goes with the book on transgender kids, which they're seeking to crush and censor as well. So now they're I've been talking about this for a long time, long, long time. But now they're completely out in the open, out in the light of sun. And they are anti-free speech. They are pro-censorship. They will crush speech that they disagree with. They have formed a coalition with billionaire industrial information titans to control information from the White House. And the Washington Post doesn't even bat an eye. Of course, it's owned by Dr. Evil, isn't it? Extraordinary stuff. Extraordinary stuff. We've got a category headlined Racism Today. Category Florida. We've got, General Milley, Thoroughly Modern Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is a disgrace to his uniform and to the American way of life and to Western civilization. We actually wanted to get to Thoroughly Modern Milley yesterday, but we didn't. Honestly, it's like 7 days in May, and he's Burt Lancaster. We need is that an obscure reference? We need a Kirk Douglas to come in and straighten him out, because there's a Judas in here somewhere. I know there is. And Thoroughly Modern Milley, about how he was going to take control away from the elected president of the United States and use the military to do it in order to prevent the military from being used for political purposes. He was going to use the military for political purposes. Not the brightest man, I'm coming to learn. Extraordinary stuff. I can't wait to get to that. We got COVIDiots, Los Angeles versus the federal government. The Congressional Black Caucus, they love handcuffs. You know, it's like Michael Avenatti. Kind of a strange coincidence. And I've got to say, Justice Stephen Breyer wakes up every morning with a gang of Democrats outside his bedroom window chanting, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" These are not good people. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb.
All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs.
Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Today on Hey Culligan, sustainability and better water. Here's Sam.
Hey Culligan, I'm really into sustainability. My clothes, my utensils, my food. But how do I get more sustainability from my water?
Super question, Sam, and the answer is an always-on drinking water system from Culligan, which helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year.
Whoa, that's a ton of sustainability.
416,000 tons, Sam, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Enjoy a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Black Friday and July event. Get amazing savings with up to 50% off high-performance computers and tech built for business, and be able to take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, get great offers on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL, and speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. So call today and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. With school just around the corner, they need your help more than ever. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, music, and more. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a teacher.
Ah, yes. We got a lot of talk about communism today because it's, well, it's not front page news in the fake news, but it ought to be. In the meantime, what is it about fascism? I'm getting fascism wrong again? All right, well, we have an expert on fascism on the line. Let's go to Mike the Lib. Mike the Lib, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Yes, Chris. The Nazis, National Socialist Workers Party, that was all a deception. They were not socialists.
They were
super capitalists.
They were super capitalists?
They supported all the big capitalists. They were against the socialists. They were against the communists.
No, you've got that wrong.
Don't have it wrong.
Mike the Lib, here's what you've got wrong.
I don't have it wrong, Chris.
Stop repeating yourself. Stop talking. You're a fanatic. Listen, Mike the Lib. The capitalists supported the fascists, and the fascists supported the capitalists, right? Right?
In Italy, it was the fascists.
Germany already had a capitalist. Don't swirl on me here.
I'm trying to educate you.
This
really
voice is going up. Now, the National Socialist German Workers' Party self-identified as a socialist workers' party, right?
No, it was a deception.
Who were they tricking?
Deception. They were not. They were deceiving the voters.
Oh, the voters!
In Germany.
All right, and there was a coalition.
They were right-wing extremists. They were supported by other conservative parties.
American conservatives were small government. Listen to them.
Hitler became chancellor.
Listen, Mike, you're not having a conversation.
Believing he would be able to delegitimize the Nazis, but there was never another election.
Right.
Hindenburg died, and then Hitler.
Just like any socialist workers' party, one man, one vote, one time. And now you're not having a conversation. Mike,
but that's
stop.
Not socialism. Socialism is the nationalization of production.
That's communism.
No. No, Chris. Socialism is nationalization.
Mike, you're a squirrel. You can't have a conversation. Mike, did the capitalists support the fascists, and did the fascists support the capitalists? Yes. Just say yes.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
It's July, and Black Bear Diner is celebrating red, white, and blue all month. Start your morning with two sweet cream pancakes topped with fresh sliced strawberries, our house-made blueberry topping, and whipped cream. Or finish off your favorite Black Bear Diner meal with our California cheesecake, drizzled with blueberry and strawberry toppings, plus whipped cream. Come visit us at the diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading, or order at blackbeardiner.com for takeout and delivery.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District radio show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms.
Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Brian Clark is a teacher in Grants Pass School District in Oregon. Well, when fellow teachers reported his religious activity nowhere near the school, district officials placed restrictions on his off-hours evangelism and all church youth activities within district boundaries.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Yes, Mike the Lib. Mike the Lib, expert on fascism. And, how about planned capitalism? Can we go with planned capitalism? Shall we look at the coalition between the fascists? No, it was all a trick, calling themselves the Socialist Workers' Party, to fool the voters. That's it. Well, they had voters. Well, at least once. Then, classic thing, the authoritarian, totalitarian 20th century thing, one man, one vote, one time. Before we get, and there's a great many things to get to, including today's ridiculous Washington Post, and it's just a ridiculous newspaper. It is, let's say the front page, anything on Cuba today? No, nothing on Cuba today. There's another anti-Trump story on the front page, and it has to do with Thoroughly Modern Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as well. Book details Trump in action on January 6th riot. It's a book by Washington Post reporters, so you can rely on them. That's good. And page 3. Justice, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. The Democrats, he's 83 years old, and the Democrats want him to either die or go away. And honestly, I think he must wake up every day with a gang of liberals outside banging tambourines and drums, chanting, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" Breyer says he has not yet decided when to retire from Supreme Court is the headline on page 3. Remark irks liberals who want him to depart. See how they use the word depart instead of retire? Depart, so Biden picks a successor. So Biden picks, it's poor grammar by the Washington Post. And Anne Marimau, one of the girls from the DNC steno pool, typed up the press release for the Democrat Party attacking Justice Stephen Breyer. They want him to go because they're kind of figuring that they're so crazy that they're going to lose the House and probably the Senate next year, you see. And so if they don't get some Supreme Court justice to retire or depart. If they can't get him to depart, you know, like the Departed, you know that movie The Departed, the Dear Departed, and if they don't get him to depart by next year, then they're not going to get, Joe Biden's not going to get a pick on the Supreme Court, and they'll pick a 12-year-old who will be there forever and ever, a radical leftist who thinks that Cuba has got it right. They want him to depart. Leave him alone. The man is a Supreme Court justice. He can do what he wants. He can retire when he wants. They're greedy. They're so crazy. They're craven, these people. And Mike the Lib. Have you ever heard Mike the Lib before? He's kind of a regular feature. He's Mike the Lib. He's a former intelligence officer, by the way. Not that that matters, but let's go back to the phones. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Phil calling from Arlington. He's from Arlington, Virginia, but calling from Ohio today. Philip, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, good morning. We are living in a very bizarre time, my friend. Our life is now the movie Red Dawn 3, Invasion from Within. Our government is facilitating the invasion of our southern border. Then they're flying these same invaders into deep conservative strongholds like Nashville. Meanwhile, President Trump is inside of Facebook and Twitter jail yelling, "Avenge me!" And in fact, the real anti-communists, the ones coming from Cuba, are denied entry in the United States. And one final thing, Chris, WMAL should start providing coded messages to the patriots in the free territories. You know, things like Kamala has a very long mustache and Hillary wound my heart with cheap New Zealand longer. This is a bizarre movie. Amanda Milius should make her father's movie right now. She's a great patriot. She should take John Milius's Red Dawn and remake it today. That's what I got.
Wow. Wow. Great, great call. That was great, Phil. Thank you. That was wonderful. Chock full of stuff. Man, that was brilliant. You should have a show of your own, I think. That was great stuff. Phil, who lives in Arlington, Virginia, but he's in Ohio today, so he's calling from Ohio. Red Dawn 3, Bizarro World. It's true. Trump is in, censorship jail because of the left and their allies. Again, the coalition between the information industrialists, the oligarchs, the billionaires, the richest men in the world, and the party. The coalition is not with the government, it's with the party. The party happens to be in control of the government right now. But the capital T, capital P, the Democrat Party, which is owned and operated by the left, has created an industrial coalition. It's a form of controlled capitalism. You see, they are in the good graces of the party for now, as long as they do what the party instructs them to do, which they seem to be happy to do. And they control the information. Again, wait till you hear this Jen Psaki stuff. It's beyond belief. Honestly, and the now former president of the United States, less than a year, former president of the United States, is being silenced by the party and their industrial allies, their corporate allies in the information world. The billionaire oligarchs who have aligned themselves with one political party, the Democratic Party, the left-wing party in the United States of America, who can't decide whether Cuba has it right or we have it right. They're having a little trouble. Old Uncle Joe, he's moving kind of slow at the junction. He had some comments on it yesterday. But, wow, madness. All right, let's go back to the phones for a second. Let's go to Scott calling from Fredericksburg. Scott, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Scott.
After listening to that back and forth, I get the distinct impression Mike the Lib grew up in a house with lead paint.
A lot of chips of lead paint being used as
snacks.
Must have
been licking the windowsill.
Somebody put the lead paint chips in his cereal as a boy. Yeah,
the reasoning. Mm.
pretty standard. Hey, these aren't Wheaties. The pretty standard stuff for the left. Scott, thank you. Wanted to get you in there with that comment. Pretty funny stuff. All right, now let's get to some audio here because we got a lot of crazy going on. And I mentioned a nice lady. I know I have stories here on the and misinformation, disinformation, and big tech and all that stuff. We've got this crazy story about a book that is out now about transgenderism and transgender kids. All right, and I have two stories to share with you on this. Amazon. This is from the Seattle Times, which is a left wing, of course, mainstream media outlet. Amazon overrules employees' calls to stop selling book questioning mainstream treatment for transgender youth. The Seattle Times left wing, I think Washington Post. Isn't this also a Bezos' richest man in the world publication? And the Seattle Times, they call the current treatment of transgender children, five-year-olds having hormone treatments to change their gender and things like that, they call that mainstream. And Amazon overrules employees. Employees were calling on Amazon to stop selling a book about transgender kids because they disagree with the content, and they're fascists, you see, they're book burners, and they're authoritarian. They're on the left, naturally, but that doesn't really matter because, in truth, and maybe Mike the Lib might even agree with this if he were capable of having a cogent adult conversation, the political spectrum I've been arguing for decades is not doesn't go from left to right. It's basically a circle because if you go far enough left, and if you go far enough right, you can take that rebar and bend it like the strong man at the carnival, and they meet each other. They arrive at the same destination. It's an intersection. The far left and the far right are virtually indistinguishable from one another. In fact, if you look at China today, they're the biggest capitalist communists in the world. They allow a certain amount of capitalism because, and I've been talking about this for years too, because they discovered long ago that communism doesn't create wealth, and without wealth they can't have power. So they have slaves, and then, you know, the American corporations and other corporations go over there and use their cheap labor and their slave labor, like the Uyghurs, to make a lot of money so the Chinese can exert power around the world and destroy more effectively. And the political spectrum, I do believe, is not so much a left to right, but a circle, because the far left meets the far right. And they, again, become indistinguishable. So these lefties at Amazon who are, they don't know it. They think they're liberals, but they're not. They're leftists. And no one is more illiberal than the leftists. And they're demanding that Amazon stop selling the book because they disagree with its content. And the White House, at the same time, is demanding that Facebook and more broadly Twitter and other social media platforms begin censoring information with which the party disagrees or of which the party disapproves. And right now it has to do with vaccines and the Wuhan and all that. But don't think it's going to stop there. This is just breaking the ice for them. They're never done. You know, when you give the left what they demand, and they always demand it, or they just exert power and they grab it, then they will want more. And then when you give them the more that they want, you know what they will want then? They will want more. And when you give them that, they will still want more because it's all they want. Now, the these stories are quite remarkable. The Seattle Times story is interesting enough. Amazon overrules employees who called for the Amazon to stop selling the book in question. And then and apparently two people resigned from Amazon in protest because they're principled, you know. They're fascists, but they're principled fascists. They're authoritarian or totalitarian, but they're principled totalitarians. And the American Booksellers Association apologizes for promoting Abigail Schreier's, quote, violent, end quote, transgender book. Now, there's, of course, nothing violent about it, but National Review, you know, silence is violence. They're silent on Cuba. That's not violence, but that's okay. Even when there's all this brutality and violence going on, their silence is not violence. Pardon me. In a statement Wednesday, the American Booksellers Association apologized like a fish called Wanda, for promoting Abigail Schreier's, quote, irreversible damage. This is the name of the book, Irreversible Damage, colon. They love their colons. Properly placed colon. The transgender craze seduced our daughters. That's the name of the book, Irreversible Damage, colon. The transgender craze seduced our daughters. Calling its oversight in releasing it a serious, violent incident. Now, it's nothing of the kind. These are booksellers. They don't know what the words mean. They use the words, but they don't know what they mean. The American Booksellers Association agent, sent Schreier's title along with 750 bookstores in July in a white box mailing, Publishers Weekly reported. And an anti-trans book was included in our July mailing to members. This is a serious, violent incident that goes against ABA's ENDS policies. ABA's ENDS policies, values, and everything we believe and support. It is inexcusable. We apologize to our trans members and to the trans community for this terrible incident. Now, this is fascism, all right, disguised as liberalism. We should pull up, Michael, that Ronald Reagan line. The Ronald Reagan quote from years ago, I played it, we played it about a month ago, where Ronald Reagan says when fascism comes to America, it's going to be in the guise of liberalism. And it's like he was Nostradamus. And they're groveling and apologize. We apologize. Again, it's like the fourth time they've said the word apologize. Groveling and sniveling to the LGBTQIA plus community at large and to our bookselling community. Now, and Amazon employees, leftists, demanding that they quit this. Now, let's go to Abigail Schreier. Where are those sound bites? And Abigail Schreier this morning on the Fox News Channel and no place else because the rest of the media, I believe, are struggling with gender identity. So let's go to Abigail Schreier, the author of the book on the television this morning, talking about it. What is your book about, Abigail?
My book's about a medical mystery. Why all of a sudden in the last decade we're seeing an incredible spike in teenage girls suddenly deciding that they're transgender, often with their girlfriends, and pushing for hormones and surgeries and easily obtaining them.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. Hey, your 9-year-old girl's growing a nice mustache there. Abigail Schreier, author of the book that everyone with children should read on how this happens.
Well, it seems to be a social contagion. One more example of teenage girls who are in genuine pain. They have a lot of anxiety and depression, sharing and spreading their pain in friend groups. And they're getting it from social media. They're getting it from the schools. They're getting it from their therapists. They're really getting this all over, this idea that if they just escape being a girl, if they just become a boy, all their problems will go away.
If they just become a boy, all their problems will go away. Well, you know, you can write your name in the snow, so that's good. Now, this, you know, you can't get a tattoo, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes, you can't buy a beer, you can't go into a bar, but you can't book your own plane ticket, but you can change your gender. Abigail Schreier.
I think we're waking up in America to the fact that the hard left is really totalitarian. They are illiberal, and they're very much in favor of book banning. And the truth is they're very highly motivated, and if we want to hold on to things like free expression, we have to get as motivated to preserve that right as they are to stifle it.
I thought this woman was so wonderful this morning. I wanted to buy her a beer and a tattoo. Abigail Schreier.
I think we're all a little shocked by how illiberal this hard left is and how much they want to bring back book banning, and we just have to do our best to resist that and to preserve an open society.
That's a fact, Jack. That's where we are. That's what the Democrat Party is doing to America. They're not liberals. They're leftists. I don't know how many times I have to say this. All right, Abigail Schreier, Columbia University, Oxford University, Yale Law School, a lawyer and author. She's written for the Wall Street Journal, and her book is not violent, but these people are crazy, and the American Booksellers Association is an embarrassment to Western civilization and to liberal societies everywhere since the Enlightenment. And these clowns at Amazon that want to ban the sale of the book should maybe read another book, Mein Kampf, which I'm sure is also available at Amazon.com.
Wolverines!
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
You work hard and you train hard. And let's face it, sometimes it hurts. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stick it to the pain with the Tiger Balm Pain Relieving Patch. Convenient to apply, Hydrogel technology sends Tiger Balm's proven pain relief right to your aches and pains. It's fast, safe, and long-lasting. Made from a blend of herbal ingredients, Tiger Balm is trusted pain relief for everyone, from world-class athletes to weekend warriors. Roar back with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts. Available at stores everywhere.
Today on Hey Culligan, soft water, cleaner environment. What do you say, Greg?
Hey Culligan, are you saying if I have a Culligan high-efficiency water softener, I'm also helping the environment?
It sounds like you're saying it, Greg, and yes you are, because with the Culligan high-efficiency water softener, you'll use less detergent, soap, and harsh chemicals, and that's good for the planet.
Now you're saying it.
You bet I am, Greg. Soft water and a cleaner environment is already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
The forgotten poor in need of healing wait for mercy ships. A floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives. To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Are you a homeowner and do you have a VA mortgage? Then think about a VA Streamline refinance from Guaranteed Rate. It's just for VA loans and it lowers your mortgage rate so you save money on mortgage payments. Maybe a lot of money. And it's so easy to qualify. You don't need pay stubs, a W-2 or bank statements. You don't need a home appraisal. And Guaranteed Rate will waive any lender's fees. That alone could save you almost $2,000. Mortgage interest rates are extremely low right now. So call today and you could lock in a great deal. Do you have a VA mortgage? Call 888-809-6007. 888-809-6007. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 2611. Not all borrowers will be approved. Restrictions apply. Guaranteed Rate Inc. has no affiliation with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or any other government agency. Guaranteed Rate is proud to be a partner of the USO. Call 888-809-6007.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world with volunteer medical staff and crew. And now with our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now. Together, we are bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more, Go to mercyships.org today.
But resist we much, we must, and we will much about that be committed.
Couldn't have said it better myself, the Reverend Al Sherlington, shakedown artist extraordinaire, racist, anti-American. He's pro-capitalist, though. Let's not kid ourselves about that. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Andre, who is calling from St. Louis because he fled Fairfax County in Virginia. And Andre is also an author. And also, Andre, I just looked it up. You can buy Mein Kampf, Hitler's autobiography, on Amazon. You can. It's $19.99, $10.99 on Kindle. So you can buy Mein Kampf. Nobody at Amazon resigning over that. But the irreversible damage, transgender craze seducing our daughters, they want that banned and people are resigning there. Hey, Andre.
You got to hate those trends, Chris. You're right. It is a national emergency with this kind of censorship going on. The reason I called in is I too suffered at the hands of the censorship bandwagon. I had a book on Amazon for almost 7 years, and it was an etymological look at the name Redskins. And the book was entitled How the Redskins Got Their Name. Very objective story, very proud story of the red-painted warriors out of the Upper East Coast that gave the team its name. But I did get a note about 6-8 weeks ago from Amazon through my publisher that said, due to the NFL's name change, they will no longer sell my book. So much for learning about the truth behind the Redskins name, the very proud Redskins name. It's now washed away.
What does that tell us, Andre?
Well, at the basic level of being a consumer of information and news, hopefully truth, the bottom rung of our society, full of citizens, won't have the chance, in my case, to learn where the name came from objectively. Instead, they're going to have to rely on the narratives promoted by the monopoly media run by the DNC. So,
well,
going forward.
And more broadly, I'd say that they have reinvented book burning.
Indeed.
They've retooled and reinvented. They've reimagined. They love that word, reimagined, because they live in a cartoon fantasy. I think they've reimagined book burning. And when people are resigning at Amazon over irreversible damage, the transgender craze seducing our daughters, and demand that it be taken on, then wait till you hear what the White House is doing. That's where the real fascism comes in. And Ronald Reagan warned us about this. Thank you, Andre.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.